So now they have to ask for the bathroom key?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Sunday, September 25th, 2022. This is your award-winning Gamer Nation Media Assassination, episode 1489.
This is No Agenda.
Seeing, saying, and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where I found a Canadian $1 bill, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
You just couldn't leave it, could you?
No, of course not. These are so rare, it's ridiculous.
What, the Canadian $1 bill? Really, that's rare?
When have you ever seen one?
Well, honestly, I don't think I've had Canadian dollarettes in my hand that I can remember, really.
They've used a toonie. They use the $1 coin. They don't use a bill.
The toonie? Okay, that makes sense. Huh.
The bill goes way back.
It's not one of those plastic ones, is it? Like the UK?
No, it's way back. It's a way back bill. And they don't even have the twos. You can't even get a Canadian. $2 were the bills that were going around Canada.
Uh-huh.
And now they came up with the toonie, which is another coin. Those all disappeared too, so you can't find those either.
The toonie.
A loony and a toonie.
Well, anyway, it is September 25th. We promoted today as a special day on the last show. And so I just want everyone to remember, there's only one rule.
If you see something, say something.
Again, this jingle is licensable from the Curry Dvorak Consulting Group.
So what? And they changed it to what, Seesaw?
Seesaw Day. Seesaw Day.
It's, see something. You saw something.
Yeah, Seesaw Day. Yes, Seesaw Day. It's just so bad. He's dumb.
Seesaw.
Exactly. Well, there seems to be a lot going on.
Well, I think that's going on the most. I sent you. Do you have this clip, or I sent it as a bonus clip?
Oh, if you sent a bonus, I have to pick it up. Hold on.
Biden and this 12-year-old gag.
Oh, yeah, of course I've seen that. Hasn't everybody seen it by now?
That's what I thought.
Hold on.
But I got a copy of it off of TikTok that Foley sent me.
Yeah, is it different?
Well, what's different is it's a close up of Biden. And it's the creepier. It's much creepier than the one you've seen.
Well, should we play this? Go ahead.
You can play it. I mean, the commentary is the same.
What is it? Is it a close-up of his face?
Yeah.
Wow. Here it is. Let's just play it.
But guess what? We got a lot to do. Got to say hi to me. We go back a long way. She was 12. I was 30. But anyway... This woman helped me get an awful lot done. Anyway.
Yes.
So when you see it, it's like he's giving his little staggered whatever he's talking about to this group with a bunch of black women behind him, all thinking he's hilarious. And he locks onto somebody in it like a cat or a lizard. It's very predatory looking. And he just locks onto her. And he just stares at her as he's talking about something else. And he's locked on her. And he says, you better say hi.
Yeah.
With still staring, not moving his eyes an iota.
And of course, with the narrative that we have going on around Joe, which of course bleeds over from Hunter, this is the interpretation. I mean, I'm sure in his mind, it might have been something else, maybe. But now people are interpreting everything when I didn't even clip it. He says, I guess Elton John, he was at a concert or whatever it was, and he says, this is the man responsible that we have to spend $6 billion on AIDS and HIV. Yeah. Which, of course, is immediately interpreted, oh, man, Elton John did that. It's just the whole
thing. I saw that,
the whole thing is a little creepy. It's like, come on, let's get over it. Let's move on. We're better than this. We have good jokes.
No, we're not.
That may be right. I had a chat with Willow. About Italy.
Yes, give us the rundown from her perspective. I have a bunch of Italy clips that we can go to after you give us this.
Yeah, me too, but I think I'd prefer to hear what you got. Although NPR, which is, it's over a 2-minute clip, they do have a very exact explanation of what Willow said to me when I asked her. It's all the same programming because the programming is pretty obvious. Hold on a second.
Let me and it's international.
Oh yeah. It's everyone is doing the same thing. So, when I asked, she said, oh yeah, no, this is the fascist party. And, but she did say the way this has gone, they are completely legit. They've been around for a long time. This is led by Giorgia Meloni. And you know, they went from 2% to 8% and they just kept on growing. So she said it's completely legit, but yeah, obviously fascist. And so I say, hey, what makes her party fascist? And Willow also, my sister who lives in Italy, said, I don't like her fascist ideas. So she sends me a Wikipedia page about the National Fascist Party. And it appears that there are members, much older members who were in the Nationalist Alliance in like the mid 90s. And so there's this path, and it actually goes back further to 1921 to 1943. That was the Republican Fascist Party. So Willow says, actually what this party is post-fascist, which I'd never heard before. You ever heard of post-fascist?
Yes, I have.
No, I didn't even know it. And so I said, well, what about these fascist things do you not like? Against same-sex unions, which I think is her version of what they're actually saying, which is we want to promote the Catholic family or the natural family is what they call it there. They are against euthanasia, very fascist.
Oh,
heaven forbid. And then Willow threw in there, I know why she did it, against legalization of cannabis. You know, I was trying to rile me up, just to name a few. And then she says they're also anti-EU, although they seem to harp on that less now. So really, it's ultra-conservative. It's way over the top. And I think that mirrors the programming precisely.
Yeah, Deutsche Welle is where I got my clips.
Yeah, this wasn't a clip. This was my sister.
No, I know, but you said that she mimicked PBS
NPR. Oh yeah, totally. Everything NPR, was spot NPR. On. But also Euro news, I would say.
Yeah, well, Euro news snuck a little bit into the. I agree with that.
Maybe I'll play my Euro news
into the
later.
DW reporting.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
A little bit, but I think the DW reporting was fair, kind of fair, and there's a lot of reporting. I didn't get any clips from where they're going to try to do stuff to sabotage her, and they would the globalists or whatever, the elites, whatever you want to call them, are just not happy with this woman showing up.
No.
So she's very popular. She gives very, very entertaining speeches, and there's a good example in these clips. Here's my clip number one.
Well, millions of Italians will cast their votes today in an election forecast to bring in seismic change. Polls are predicting that voters will likely elect Italy's most far-right government since World War II. Giorgia Meloni would also be its first female prime minister. Italy's fractured political spectrum means no party will be able to govern alone, and it could take weeks before a coalition is in place.
She describes herself as a mother, Italian, Christian. Giorgia Meloni is reaching for power in Italy, promising to revive the country and put the interests of Italians first. Buonasera a tutti! On the campaign trail, the charismatic leader of the Brothers of Italy, a party with neo-fascist roots, took great pains to appear moderate. But the party's logo contains a tricolor flame, a symbol of the extreme right in Italy. And their hardline views on abortion, same-sex marriage, and immigration from Africa and the Middle East are clear indications of the party's true platform.
Avete visto le immagini dei profughi ucraini?
Have you seen the pictures of Ukrainian refugees, women and children who are fleeing the war? Don't those images seem strange compared to the images of boats full of grown men that we have seen arriving here in recent years? When people run away from a war, you see women and children coming because the men are fighting. But if just men are arriving, then they can only be running away from war after leaving the women and children to fight.
I love
big
this
round of applause.
Yeah, I love this because, of course, she's of the people. That's obvious. The people love her. The people, the true people of Italy, they don't want any of this. They don't want the EU. Well, they want the EU money, and that's the real thing, right? It's like 250 billion euros.
Yeah, they want the money. They don't want the aggravation of these immigrants, and they're not
right.
They're not doing well there.
If we want the money, we don't want the aggravation that comes attached to it, huh?
So she should win. Today's the election, so yeah,
we might hear it. I mean, I find that the EU is really where the action is right now. I mean, the U.S. is, you know, we're just sinking slowly.
Oh, especially with they have like a lot of protests and riots, and there's still shit going. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
We're kind of in the doldrums because the football season started.
Oh, is that it? So we don't need to pay attention to it.
Yeah, so let's relax for a little while. Let's go to clip part two of this the Deutsche Welle clip.
Meloni's supporters can't seem to get enough of such talk, but her popularity is also the result of a credibility crisis facing the parties in the previous government. The passion she has, the clarity, the simplicity, even when she tackles important issues. In Italy, we should welcome foreigners in need, but we need to think of ourselves first. Meloni has vowed to support Ukraine and NATO, and she says that she's pro-European. But she often views EU rules as an infringement of Italy's sovereignty. Her critics fear the right-wing populist will change the country and its values.
Fascism never has gone away. It's still here with us. It's just changing a little bit the face and new makeup, but it's still with us.
Our fear here is that we would go back in time, and instead of going forward in terms of rights, in terms of other type of progressive kind of mindsets, we would go back to an era that we fear, we dread the most.
Okay, now that last guy that you heard, think it was a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was either an incel. With a couple of like hoop earrings and lipstick, and
I can see which point he might have had a problem with.
And then, either he was an incel or she was a non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
At this crossover point, you can't really tell.
I think you should complete the trifecta and use a they them just to make sure.
It could be they, them, or a Gigi, or a Gigi. But you can see that it was a out of step with her, with this new, with this.
Now, I will say
Maloney
the
woman.
The Italians, having grown up in the Netherlands and in Europe in general, and I grew up kind of on the tail end of punk going into ska, which, you know, eventually, you know, we lost and it became
eventually disappeared.
Yeah. Well, but the punks in Italy, those were the outrageous ones, and they were scary, actually. You know, it's like, remember the safety pin rage? Dude.
Oh, yeah, where your whole face was filled with them.
They were crazy with that. I remember it distinctly, like Italian punks. Oh, no. Oh, no, man, they're out of... So, you know, it would make sense to me that they go all in and nuts. All in and nuts. So I have two reports. I think we should hear one from the U.S. side and maybe just do NPR and just bear through it.
Italians vote on Sunday. It seems likely they'll elect the country's most right-wing government since World War II. If Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy party comes out on top, she could also make history by becoming the country's first woman prime minister. Adam Rainey.
And that's something I didn't hear in the Deutsche Welle report. Did they mention
it? Right
that?
At the front.
Oh, they did?
Right,
oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is kind of downplayed. It's like, why are you harassing a woman? Isn't that third rail territory?
Yeah, you know, so women all rise for the woman unless she's conservative.
Fascist.
It's just like so obviously, and it's terrible.
Yes.
From Rome.
Giorgia Meloni's Twitter feed is full of scenes like this, taking the stage in Italian cities across the country.
Notice
they all look similar.
Notice the dramatization right away. Taking the stage. I love these guys. Taking the stage.
Giorgia Meloni's Twitter feed is full of scenes like this, taking the stage in Italian cities across the country. They all look similar. dozens, sometimes hundreds of people waving flags.
I think a little more
brother's
than that.
Italy party as she sprints to the stage.
dozens, please.
Good catch.
Come on, NPR.
Dozens. She's packing them in.
We've dozens. Seen it. We've seen it.
Milan, Palermo, Genoa, the feed is like a map of Italy, meant to show her national, not just nationalist appeal. Although her party has roots in Italy's post-war neo-fascist movement,
there it is.
Meloni, who is 45, is making great pains to distance herself from fascism. Speaking on one of Italy's main evening newscasts, Meloni sarcastically jokes that her opponents on the left don't seem to realize that fascism ended 30 years before she was born. Just this week, though, her party suspended a member after an Italian newspaper revealed he had made statements supporting Adolf Hitler on social media 8 years ago.
Oh, well, there you go. Fascists.
Well, the thing is that you could play that. There's a good slanted approach because you could play that either way. You could go this way with the report. You can say the party is anti-fascist. And in fact, when they found someone had made a pro-Hitler comment 8 whole years ago, they kicked him out of the party.
Yes, exactly.
Now, why don't you could tell the story that way. But no, they tell the story the exact opposite way. And the way I just told it is more reasonable because they did kick him out.
Thank you for pointing that out. That's one of those journalistic little tricks that you never hear an analysis of. We can just stop the show right here.
Yep, we're done.
Send your donations. This is how it's done, people.
The fascism label may trouble Meloni. Hard right positions clearly don't. Here she is in August. She's saying her party supports a naval blockade to stop illegal immigration from North Africa. And here she is fired up on stage.
Fired up!
She says she has a dream that Italians won't have to lower their heads in shame or worry they'll lose their jobs for their political beliefs. A clear message to people who support her party's pro-Catholic, anti-immigrant, anti-woke positions, as she has called them.
Ah, there it is. Anti-woke. Is that, I'd like to know what is anti-woke in Italian. I should have asked
like
Willow
to know
that.
Myself.
That would be kind of nice. I think it may sound really cool, anti-woke.
And according to him, she actually says anti-woke, or do they have an Italian word for it? They don't explain this, do they?
Do we, hold on a second, translate. Does Google, will Google help us with that? Let's see, anti, so it would be anti-woke. Okay, translate from English
to Italian.
I'm sorry, to Italian. Hold on, where is man, I don't use this enough. Come on, Italian. All right.
Antisveglia.
So that's what
is
it is.
Sveglia, there's an EG in there.
SV, Sierra Victor Echo Golf Lima India Alpha. Antisveglia. I don't think that's the right way to say woke. I'm just guessing here. I'll ask Willow. She'll tell me.
Some Italians fear a Meloni government would move to outlaw abortion, legal in Italy since 1978.
I think this is a big one. For the woke.
But she has gone on the record saying she has no plans to do so.
Mm-hmm.
She also says she has no plans to go soft on Russia. Meloni has long been a Eurosceptic, but has repeatedly promised she'll work with the EU and can be trusted as a steady hand to manage 200 billion euros in European pandemic recovery funds.
I think that's the big one right there. Everybody wants the money. Everybody. They're all just circling around. How can we get our hands on it? And Draghi was supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to be the guy that would shepherd them through with a €250 billion. Yep.
It's Meloni's opposition to immigration that has animated her and her base.
She's proposing herself as a sort of defensor of the borders. So a very Trumpian approach.
That's Lorenzo Castellani, a historian at Rome's Lewis University.
A real majority of people who are concerned about illegal immigration or are scared, and they are using this fear very well to convince people to support their political agenda.
Political writer Federico Fubini is a Meloni critic. but says she is politically astute for having refused to take part in the national unity government that just collapsed.
The main reason why she's leading in the polls, because she's perceived as the one that was not in power for the last 10 years.
Meloni's party won't win anything near a majority of seats in parliament alone, but her coalition with two other right-wing parties, including Forza Italia, led by former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi,
ciao ragazzi,
heard here trying to reach out to young voters on TikTok.
A great insert. To win a clear
throw this in.
That was a great insert. Hey, I got an idea. Just throw ciao ragazzi
the
in
last,
there.
10 years.
Meloni's party won't win anything near a majority of seats in parliament alone, but her coalition with two other right-wing parties, including Forza Italia, led by former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi.
Ciao, ragazzi!
Her here trying to reach out to young voters.
I rewound.
Oh, you played it again. By the way, that is racist. This is PBS or NPR that's racist best. They don't translate that, do they? They just throw
some random
kind of Italian sounding, like a pizza joint thing.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
This reporting is terrible.
Did you say pizza kind of thing?
Yeah, it's like a pizza parlor. Hey, ciao ragazzi.
If Meloni's coalition wins and she is named prime minister, she'll take office almost exactly 100 years after Benito Mussolini took the reins of power.
There you go.
She says his ideology is in the past. Many Italians and Europeans hope she'll stick to her word. For NPR News, I'm Adam Rainey in Rome.
Slanted piece of crap report again. This is what we get from our national treasure.
And listen to that music. I'm kind of pissed.
Yeah, they gotta play out some music.
I had this, I'm kind of pissed about that. I had the clip of, here she is, Queen Ursula. Yeah, listen to this.
I wanted to ask, are there
so any... She's at Princeton University. But I don't know if it's Princeton in New Jersey or if it's maybe a satellite. You know, is there Princeton in the UK or something?
Not that I know of.
If she was in New Jersey, surely you would have heard about this. This must be some other setting. Anyway, so she's...
Well, no, I don't, not necessarily. She was just in New York for that meeting.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Global.
Exactly.
Global.
Well, no, well, hold on. We had the UN General Assembly.
And you had the UN General Assembly. She's in New York, so she could just take a bus over to Jersey.
Hop an Uber through the tunnel. No worries. Well, she was asked about the Italian election and about democracy, which, of course, is exactly what Italy has, is a parliamentary democracy. And that's what I think everyone, when they say democracy, that's what they want. Unless they are without a king. Yes, unless they don't stand to have any power, then democracy sucks and these people are no good, and it's just horrible. So she was kind of asked about this, and she gave a very telling answer.
I wanted to ask: are there any concerns regarding the upcoming Italian election? Also, considering that a lot of people running, a lot of politicians running, had relationships with Putin. Thank you.
Yeah. That's basically what I was talking about, that democracy needs each and every one of you. Democracy is a constant work in progress. We're never done. It's never safe. It's never, you put it in a box and you keep it.
Bullshit.
What is this? What is this? I mean, democracy
is a work in progress.
It's an evolving thing. It's like, I don't understand. So are they going to change the parliamentary structure? Or no, that's true, actually. She's true to her word, because they're going to do a convention of states. They want to change the core workings of the European Parliament. She called for that in her speech two weeks ago.
So now they have to ask for the bathroom key? I mean, what they don't have any power now.
I think they have to have more perceived less power. I don't know exactly what it is.
More perceived less power. Yeah. There you go. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. Never, you put it in a box and you keep it. But it's a question how people stand up for democracy. We'll see the outcome of the elections. We had just elections in Sweden too. My approach is that whatever democratic government is willing to work with us, we're working together. And it is interesting when you experience the functioning of the European Council,
There's a lot of dynamic in the peer group.
Which means those guys are assholes. It sucks. I hate that place. A lot of dynamics in the peer group. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ursula. And she's smiling and she's laugh-telling her way through this. I'm going to roll that back a little bit. You're going to hear the little laugh-tell. You can't see her face.
There's a lot of dynamic in the peer group. So you're not only a country member state that comes and says, I want, but you are in the European Council and all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, my future and my well-being is also depending on all the 26 other ones. And that's the beauty also of democracy. We're sometimes slow, I know, and we talk a lot, I know, but that's democracy too. So we'll see if things go in a difficult direction. I've spoken about Hungary and Poland. We have tools if things go in the right direction and people.
There it is. So regarding the election in Italy, if things go in the wrong way, we have tools. We have tools to squeeze the testicles. We have tools. I mean, am I misinterpreting this with my biased lens?
No, this is exactly what she's saying. And the wrong direction, Poland, even though Poland's a good partner because they're taking in the refugees and they're helping on the Ukrainian side of things. And Hungary, which is, a lone wolf by all practical purposes, but they're not putting up with this bull crap. I mean, the Poles aren't either necessarily, but Hungary's a real outlier compared to what they want.
So what are the tools? Well, we know the tools. Cut them off of Swift. That's the tool.
And then I can do that. They can't do that.
No, it would just be a fun thing to do. I'd like to know what tools. We have tools.
Hungary and Poland, we have tools if things go in the right direction. And people, as a body that is always, where always governments have to be accountable to, play an important role.
I think she realized what she just said, because then she just wrapped that up with some complete non sequitur bullcrap. I think she realized it. Listen again. Right, let me roll back a little bit. Here we go.
Difficult direction. I've spoken about Hungary and Poland. We have tools if things go in the right direction. And people, as a body that is always, where always
resist
governments have
me
to
much.
Be accountable to, play an important role.
That's what it is, right?
It was a resist you much moment. Yeah, exactly. Well, since we're on this, I think we have underestimated Jacinda.
The New Zealand psycho?
The flyscraper. Mm-hmm. I think we've underestimated her to an extraordinary degree. She is a darling of the New World Order. I watched her whole speech. She's incredible. You just have to watch it. It's like 16 minutes. And she hits all the marks. The climate change, the equity, the... just the racism, everything, every single thing. She tackles it. And I think she's revered there. I really do.
In New Zealand?
No, in the New World Order. United
maybe.
Nations.
I mean, it could be. Sounds like she's what I was, the way you're describing it, she's a butt kisser.
Oh, totally. I think she's being rewarded now. And she's being pushed to the forefront of the big stage. I think she's being rewarded for her compliance and because without a doubt, they were the most locked down country in the world.
She's the biggest fascist of them all.
Listen to her.
Bringing it up.
Listen to her introduction. Fact. Let's bring Jacinda to the stage.
I have great pleasure in welcoming Her Excellency Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister and Minister for National Security and Intelligence, Child Poverty Reduction and Ministerial Services of New Zealand. I invite her to address the Assembly.
What I don't understand...
UN. You didn't say that.
Yeah, I did. It's the UN General Assembly. I'm sorry. But that's what I meant to say. Yes.
Yeah.
It's her introduction at the UN General Assembly. Now, is she prime minister of all those and minister of all those other things on behalf of the UN?
I never knew that. They gave her a bunch of titles. This is like one of those people that put a bunch of letters behind their name that mean all kinds of words.
They actually
stuff.
Did it twice in a row, this whole list of... I cut off
child
the first
bit. Poverty or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen.
In welcoming Her Excellency Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister and Minister for National Security and Intelligence, Child Poverty Reduction and Ministerial Services of New Zealand.
Oh, Five Eyes. She runs Five Eyes in New Zealand.
So she's this head spook there, yes. Too?
Yes.
So wait, so there's so five listeners in New Zealand that catch our, if they can even let it be played there. Your top spook in still top spook, and actually top spook as we speak, is also your prime minister.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that great? What could go wrong? No conflict of interest there.
Well, that's got to be no, and this has got to be everybody in the all these intelligence groups, especially Five Eyes. The guys think, ah, I wish we could get away with that.
I wish we had that system.
Can
here.
You imagine how easy life would be if we could just do that?
Prime Minister and Minister for National Security and Intelligence, Child Poverty Reduction and Ministerial Services of New Zealand. I invite her to address the Assembly.
A little bit of her opening remarks.
In a mana, in a reo, raurangatirama, kua hui hui mai nei, i tēnei whare nui o te ao.
I love the hui hui.
Is she doing this in Hawaiian? What is this?
Hold on.
Maori?
Yes, she'll explain it. The hui, but the hui hui is the best.
Hui hui, yeah. Hui. It probably means something else.
In a mana, in a reo.
She said in the morning. I heard it. She said, in a mana, listen.
In a mana.
In the mana. In the morning. She said it right there in Maori. Hui hui. In a mana, hui hui, everybody.
In a mana, in a reo. Raurangatirama, kua hui hui mai nei, e tēnei whare nui o te ao. Nā mihi maiha, kia koutou katoa, mai i toku whenua o Aotearoa. Tuia ki runga, tuia ki raro, kā rongo to pō kā rongo te ao. Nō reira, tēnā koutou katoa.
Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General, friends. Please. I greet you in Te Reo Māori, the language of the Tangata Whenua, or First People of Aotearoa, New Zealand.
There you go. So that's why she did that.
Yeah, you know, this is a classic. That's racism. The cultural
hui, hui
appropriation.
To you. Yeah, big time.
And I'll simply say this. You know, there's one of these oppressed Aboriginal groups that are in New Zealand and Australia that are oppressed by the government forever. And now this is supposed to make up for it. You know, this little spiel in Pigeon Maori, give me a break.
Look, anytime you throw a hooey hooey out there, I'm good with
it. You just think that's the best.
Of course it is.
Well, let's look it up. What does it mean? Can you have a translator? Oh, wait, Google doesn't have Maori in its translation, I bet.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, yeah, well, I get bits not in there.
Well, how do you know?
Racist at Google.
Let me see. They might have, they got a lot. Macedonian, no.
Of course not.
Oh, Maori. Hello.
No.
Yeah. Hui. Now, how do you spell hui? Hui.
H-O-O-E-Y is the way I'd spell it.
Okay. Hui, hui. And that has to come to English. Oh, this is very exciting. Well, hui, hui in Maori.
I apologize to Google for making that accusation.
Let's play hui, hui in English, translated from Maori.
Hui, hui.
Okay. I'm pretty sure we're not doing it right. Maybe H-U-I.
Hui, hui.
H-U-I, maybe. Meeting, meeting. H-U-I means meeting, meeting.
Well, Ewan, what would you say meeting, meeting?
Huh?
What would you say? Use the word meeting twice. Hui, hui's got to be like some one word that just happens to sound like two.
No, meeting. Oh, hui, hui. What if I put the two together? Hui hui. Get together. Oh, get together.
Wow.
How about that? A get together.
We've actually done it.
Congratulations. Okay, once again, let's end the show here then while we're on the, wow, on the high. Wow. We deconstructed Maori live for you people. How valuable is that? Hui hui. Get together. We're here at this little get together. Little hui hui.
Hui hui.
No agenda meetup.
We'll make that catch on.
No agenda, hooey hooey. Come on, man. Yeah. I'm digging it. I'm going to use hooey hooey.
I think there's
got to
be at least two or three no agenda groups that will have a hooey hooey.
A hooey hooey, big time. Okay, so at the hooey hooey, we have Well, first we get the reason why Jacinda is addressing this particular, well, this comes at the end of her speech, why she's addressing this, because she is designated to discuss online issues as it comes to violence. Why? Why, you ask? Why?
Yeah, why would she have anything to do with it?
Because of Christchurch.
And so that's why, alongside President Emmanuel Macron, we created the Christchurch Call to Action. The core community has worked together to address terrorism and violent extremist content online. And this important work progresses. We have demonstrated the impact we can have by working together collaboratively. We've improved crisis reactions, stymieing the ability to live stream attacks. We have crisis protocols that kick in to prevent proliferation. We're also focused on prevention, understanding the interactions between online environments and the real world that can lead to radicalization. This week we launched an initiative alongside companies and nonprofits to help improve research and understanding of how a person's online experiences are curated by automated processes. This will also be important in understanding more about mis and disinformation online, a challenge that we must as leaders address.
Okay. So, address. So she, I think she's in charge of this. We'll find out soon. She may be in charge of the mis and disinformation war. The war. It's a war. Did you know it's a war? It's a war. And she's And she's examples. She's examples of the horrible things that are happening online that we have to fight against, because it's mis and disinformation. This is the UN Ministry of Truth High Priestess at this moment.
Sadly, I think it's easy to dismiss this problem as one in the margins. I can certainly understand the desire to leave it to someone else. As leaders, we're rightly concerned that even the most light-touch approaches to disinformation could be misinterpreted as being hostile to values of free speech that we value so highly. But while I cannot tell you today what the answer is to this challenge, I can say with complete certainty that we cannot ignore it. To do so poses an equal threat to the norms we all value. After all, how do you successfully end a war? If people are led to believe the reason for its existence is not only legal, but noble, how do you...
There are people who believe that Putin's war is not only legal, but moral?
I thought she said noble.
Oh, noble. I'm sorry. Even better. Noble. I mean, you have to go to war with... This is not okay.
If people are led to believe the reason for its existence is not only legal, but noble, how do you tackle climate change if people do not believe it exists?
Oh, what are we going to do about those people?
How do you ensure human rights of others are upheld when they are subjected to hateful and dangerous rhetoric and ideology?
Which is now a human right violation? Is that what she just said?
I don't know. You have to back it up. I don't know what she's saying. Sounds like an anti-free speech comment is what she did.
How do you tackle climate change if people do not believe it exists?
Listen to this.
How do you ensure the human rights of others are upheld when they are subjected to hateful and dangerous rhetoric and ideology?
So dangerous and hateful rhetoric and ideology, that's
determined by who?
Who cares? It's violation of human rights now.
They're doing anything they can to put the kibosh on free speech.
The weapons
it's
may
unbelievable
be different.
To me. They come around from every angle they can.
Here it is. It's war.
Weapons may be...
Let me back it up a little.
...hateful and dangerous rhetoric and ideology. The weapons may be different, but the goals of those who perpetuate them is often the same: to cause chaos and reduce the ability of others to defend themselves, to disband communities, to collapse the collective strength of countries who work together.
I mean, this is to me, that's like, okay, lady, is that really? So you're going to go against all that and you're redefining all these things? We need to keep our eye on her.
That's where the structure is, you know, it's that loosey goosey UN structure of saying things that you can back away from. Well, I didn't mean that.
Well, here she's going to wrap it up, and you know, obviously her mission here is to bring us all together. We need the same rules, we need to deplatform the same podcasts.
But we have an opportunity here to ensure that these particular weapons of war do not become an established part of warfare.
We're in warfare. These are weapons of war.
A podcast
is like a nuke.
That's kind of what she's saying in an awkward way, but with that little commentary about human rights and being destroyed by somebody's bitching and moaning about it, somebody's fat butt, which is what we're talking about.
Pretty much.
It's going to be the end of civilization as war.
Let's listen to that again.
To ensure that these particular weapons of war do not become an established part of warfare. And so, we once again come back to the primary tool we have. Diplomacy.
Bleh.
Dialogue. Working together on solutions that do not undermine human rights, but enhance them.
Oh, so that means removing hate speech and rhetoric. So we can enhance people's human rights. Do you have human rights? We're gonna give you human rights on steroids. It's going to be enhanced.
For those who have not sought out the
giving people food, maybe a good income.
Well, maybe that's what she means.
Does this ever even mention in this entire speech the idea of not starving to death?
No, she said we're going to starve to death because climate change. So she did mention that. It got an honorable mention, the starving business.
For those who have not sought out the Christchurch call to action, I ask that you consider it. As with so many of the challenges we face, we will only be as strong as those who do the least. In these times...
Where's that from? We will only be as strong as those who do the least.
It's the weakest link metaphor taken and rewritten. It's a rewrite of classic, the weakest link is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
As with so many of the challenges we face, we will only be as strong as those who do the least. In these times, I'm acutely aware
of... And by the way, stop it. When you get hypnotic and you just don't pay much attention to anything. That's not true.
Okay.
We're not going to only be as strong in any sense as the person who does nothing or does the least. Because there's always going to be somebody who does nothing. That's like saying we're never going to get above the rank of homeless. I mean, that is nonsense. That is an example of this kind of I don't know what to even call it, sophisticated. Sophism? It's a way of telling things that is just wrong. It's wrong.
There must be a word for that.
You're never as, the strongest, you're not as strong as your weakest link.
Sophistry.
So it's a bit of sophistry. It's a bull crap way of putting it. And it's, for some reason, it's one of those, like a sales pitch where you get people nodding their heads over to something else. And pretty soon they're nodding their heads at everything, whether it's true or not. And that's not true. It's just bull crap.
Sophistry, the use of fallacious arguments, especially with the intention of deceiving.
Da-ba-da-boom.
Bingo.
Thank you, troll room.
Yes.
As with so many of the challenges we face, we will only be as strong as those who do the least. In these times, I'm acutely aware of how easy it is to feel disheartened. We are facing many battles on many fronts, but there is cause for optimism, because for every new weapon we face, there is a new tool to overcome it. For every attempt to push the world into chaos is a collective conviction to bring us back to order. We have the means. We just need the collective will. Mai e tōku ukai pō o Aotearoa. Karahuihui mai tātou, nō reira, tēnā tātou katoa.
And she closes with a hui hui.
She sounds like when she drops into that, sounds like she's talking in tongues to the religious out there who've seen this effect, which is, I have issues with it. So she's saying that, like, she's got this chaos notion, so hate speech is...
Yeah.
it's done for the purpose not of getting a kick out of it or to vent. A lot of people vent.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's to cause chaos. It's everything's purposeful. To cause yeah. chaos.
Meaning, carrying water for Putin. Yes, of course. That's all that it can mean. I think. Speaking of, we got some Ukraine.
She's a loser. She's not going to get anywhere as a. The problem she has is that her accent is so extreme that is she's not a good spokesperson. Even Ursula, the queen, she. Her accent's bad, but you can understand her. This woman is like,
I'm going to say something controversial. I think she gets a pass because of the homeliness.
You think she's homely?
Okay.
Well, let me take a look at her. I haven't seen her face for a while.
Look, she's not your stereotypical.
Well, she's not supermodel. A bathing beauty, that's for sure.
I think it's the teeth. It's hard to get beyond the teeth. That's it. And
okay. What's her name again?
Just Jacinda. Queen Jacinda will be sufficient. You'll find that.
I spelled it.
J-A-C-I-N-D-A.
Okay, Jacinda. Jacinda Ardern.
Yeah, Ardern. Yeah. She just got married, so you know, as we say, either put your bust and Dexel.
Oh yeah, she's got a set of choppers on her.
Yes, she does.
So and she's again, it's like
insert juvenile like the, joke, you know, here, can, please.
When I see one picture of her, I'm thinking of the old Roddy Dangerfield line that he used constantly, which was the last time I saw a mouth like that, it had a hook in it.
Yeah.
So
I would say
that she's I wouldn't categorize her as homely.
So you don't think she gets extra credit for that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, and her accent is just over the top. It's unacceptable.
So regarding free speech, I don't know if you've had any chance to follow any of the Alex Jones trial versus the parents of Sandy Hook versus Alex Jones.
No, but I sure would like to be kept up with it. I have not. I have not followed it, and I'm glad you have.
Well, and you just need to watch some of the live footage. I mean, you know, it's all recorded. It's everywhere. Actually, I have an ABC report which has some stuff in there. But this, I mean, God bless Alex Jones. He is really fighting for freedom of speech, because this is one of those exact examples where these parents' human rights have been violated by his vile rhetoric and hate speech. This is exactly what Jacinda is talking about. And the judge is unbelievable.
He might be a test case. He might be a test case.
Of course he is. And he really needs to be supported. Does he even sell his boner pills? Because I'm thinking just buying.
Oh, yeah, he sells all that stuff.
He's still selling? Because I thought that the bankruptcy court has control of all that now.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure they do. I'm pretty sure they do.
I thought I saw an ad.
Well, yeah, it's still running, but it goes straight to the bankruptcy commission or whatever. Yeah. But anyway.
No, they're really giving him the once over.
He needs to be at least supported in heart and mind, man, because he's really going through it for a lot more than just Alex Jones, in my opinion. And it's a railroad job of epic proportion. Epic. And the prosecutor
which makes it even all the more ironic,
right? Huh?
Because of his attitude about railroad jobs. Oh, you think you know railroad jobs? Let us
hold
show
my
you
beer.
Really
exactly.
Like.
Exactly.
Hold my beer. Exactly. So they're just taking it to him. Okay, that makes sense.
Now to Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist, back on the stand, facing a grilling over the lies he told about the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting. Jones says he's done apologizing to the families of the children killed.
A combative Alex Jones took the stand Thursday, refusing to apologize again for saying the school shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School was a hoax.
By the way, that's a patent lie. No, actually, it's the truth. He said, I'm not going to apologize again. That's literally what he said in court. This spins into, again, not apologizing. He has apologized. But this is incredible reporting.
A combative
Alex catch.
Oh yeah, he literally said
little twisted reporting again. Well, this is the theme for today's show, I guess.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do? I think we have to check the
but not to this extreme. I mean, we're really nailing it.
A combative Alex Jones took the stand Thursday, refusing to apologize again for saying the school shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School was a hoax.
Families in this courtroom here that lost children, sisters, wives, moms.
This is a struggle session. Are we in China? I've already said I'm sorry hundreds of times, and I'm done saying I'm sorry.
It's even in the report.
It's in the report, yeah.
It's in the report.
She still put it in that she still prefaced it with refuse to apologize again. Now, this is an interesting from a journalistic perspective again, because you're right. What she said is true, because it went so the series of events goes like this. He apologizes and apologizes and apologizes and then stops apologizing. And then stops apologizing again.
Exactly.
So she accurately pushes it out as though with misleading, in a misleading way, I will say.
Well, to be...
She says, yeah. He's refused to apologize again, making it sound to the hapless listener who doesn't know that he's already apologized a half dozen times, that he's never apologized. So this is a great example of a misleading report. Great.
I will be fair to the news model. She is only reading. She is completely biased. In her mind, Alex Jones is an asshole who will not apologize to the parents of Sandy Hook. So when she reads this copy, as a typical news model, knowing nothing of the actual news, she reads it with her bias. I think that's what happened.
Edge is definitely in there.
A combative Alex Jones took the stand Thursday, refusing to apologize again for saying the school shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School was a hoax.
Families in this courtroom here that lost children, sisters, wives, moms.
This is a struggle session. Are we in China?
A struggle session.
I've already said I'm sorry hundreds of times, and I'm done saying I'm sorry.
Relatives of the victims were in the courtroom just 20 miles from Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut, where a gunman killed 26 people in 2012. Most of the victims, first graders. A jury is deciding how much Jones should pay the families for defamation after he repeatedly claimed on his InfoWars platform that the victims' parents were actors pushing for gun control.
Not only didn't happen, he said it was a government-staged hoax because the government wanted to take away your guns.
Some of the relatives testified they had to move.
That was interesting that an unannounced male voice pops into the report.
Yeah, who is that?
I don't know.
They don't back announce it. They don't tell us who it was. You just throw some guy in and blah, 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 and he's out. He's in, he's out. Let's clip out that little Italian comment. That,
and put it in there.
Just drop it in.
Wars platform.
Whatever it was.
What was that term? I already forgot.
Victims' parents were actors pushing for gun control.
Not only didn't happen, he said it was a government-staged hoax because the government wanted to take away your guns.
Some of the relatives testified they had to move and even face death threats.
You put a target on his back just like you did every single parent and loved one sitting here.
No, I didn't.
At one point, Jones compared the family's lawyer to a liberal who killed people in Iraq.
Just like all the Iraqis, but you liberals kill and love. You're unbelievable.
This is also a very good intro that she does here. So I happen to see all this. He says, you know, he's being badgered about this, about the not apologizing. And then he says, you know, just like all the liberals who choose, you know, pick and choose who has to apologize for killing whomever. You kill all those Iraqis, no one ever apologized. But her setup is...
At one point, Jones compared the family's lawyer to a liberal who killed people in Iraq.
You see what she's doing? It's not at all what he said.
Just like all the Iraqis, but wow. You liberals kill and love.
Wait, we stop. Where did this come from?
ABC.
ABC?
America This Morning. Or ABC This Morning. Is it ATM? America.
So it's ABC.
Yeah, ABC.
Good Morning America is the name of that show.
No, it's ATM, so that might be America This Morning. It might be an overnight show.
Oh, maybe it's one of those little, you know, they've all put these after shows in.
Yeah. Clip Custodian.
I mean, they have now the Today Show Part 3.
Yeah. Neil, which one? What is
Hoda Takes a Dump. It was like the
part. Hoda Takes a Dump.
It's unbelievable how they're looking for any.
It's called ATM Morning.
Filler.
It's called ATM Morning? No.
Good morning. We'll look into it later.
Yeah, we'll get it from Neil.
You're unbelievable. You switch on emotions on and off when you want. It's just ambulance chasing.
A lawyer for Jones accused the victim's relatives of exaggerating the harm caused by Jones's claims, arguing any damages should be limited. But the lawyer for the families reminded the jury just how much money Jones has made peddling lies to his followers.
And so that's really where it all comes down to. How much money can we get out of him? It's America This Morning. That's the name of the show. I don't watch it. That's the Clip Custodian. He likes pain.
He's got to get us better details. America This Morning sounds more like a New York local.
No, it's ABC. It's ABC. Yeah. Okay, ABC, America This Morning. What were you doing? Were you just picking your nose? You could have looked this up while the clip was playing.
Well, I wasn't thinking.
Okay, fine.
I was listening carefully to the clips. I can't do two things at once.
America This Morning is an American early morning news program. Broadcast on ABC on weekday mornings. So this is probably, what time does it air? It probably airs at like, here, 6 a.m.
It's the pre-Good Morning America show.
Good Morning America show, yes.
Oh, so they have to have these shows now. There's a pre, you know, they tried doing this some years ago, but they had these overnight news shows. Remember those?
Yeah, sure. They all failed. So they all failed.
Yes, they all failed because
nobody's up. No one's watching. No.
And no one's going to watch the news at 3 in the morning. So they start this show at 6, and then they go to the Good Morning America, and then they go to the after show, which whatever it is. And then there's another, like, Good Morning America 2, or I don't know how ABC does it, but I know NBC just runs this thing.
What time is Hoda's Butt? That's the one I want to see.
Hoda Takes a Dump.
Hoda Takes a Dump.
That is Today's Show 4.
Is that still with Kathy Lee, or is she no longer on the show?
Kathy Lee's long gone. They got this... this other girl.
Poor Kathy Lee. She's doing the pills with vegetables and fruits and veggies in a pill.
Nature's Best or whatever it's called.
It gives her va-va-va-voom back.
Nature's Natural, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I should know. It sure isn't working.
It's a bunch of ground up beats.
It sure isn't. The ad is not working because I can't remember the product. That's very sad.
It's on the radio. They promote this constantly.
I know. All the radio DJs are doing that.
They all have this. And I have to say, I can't think of it either. So there's something amiss. Nature's Best, something.
No.
Come on,
Trolls. Man, it's taking so long.
Nature's... I mean, I could just look it up and we just put Nature.
What would the fun be in that? It's not, I don't think it's called Nature. I think it's called something.
Yes, Nature something.
No. And Larry Elder.
He's one of the big promoters.
He's one of the big
dudes. And the Painkiller. The other one that they're all promoting is this, you know, Stop Pain Fast, whatever it's called, from Gorka was the first one.
Gorka, right.
And then Larry Elder's got on that one. They're all on it. This is like the clicks of these.
I think it's
dubious project. Nature's Best. No?
Balance of Nature.
Balance of Nature. That's exactly right.
Woof. That hurt. So that's what Kathy Lee is promoting. Balance of Nature.
She's pushing Balance of Nature then.
And I'm sad.
I've never felt so good. All these years, a million vegetables in one pill. Okay.
Ground up crud. How can you say that? I don't understand. Since we've been doing journalistic deconstruction, I think there's one more that we need to add to the list. I know you have a report. Now I'm going to play mine first. Because this report shows out. In fact, if we did an award show, this report about the referendum the Russians are doing, I think it gets the award for most so-called references.
In Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia, Russian-appointed authorities going door-to-door to collect votes for the so-called referendum to join Russia, in a move aimed at legitimizing Moscow's imminent annexation of Ukrainian territories. On the front line, soldiers have also expressed their vote. Russia says the so-called voting will take place until Tuesday.
So it's not just...
How many times is he going to say so-called?
Well, anyway, I think he's probably a so-called news guy from Euronews. But first it's the so-called referendum. Then it's the so-called vote. I mean, it's great.
Russia says the so-called voting will take place until Tuesday. Referendums are being conducted on the basis of the decisions of the local government authorities. The conditions of those referendums have been published. And following those referendums, as I already said, Russia, of course, will respect the expression of the will of those people who for many years have been suffering from the abuses of the neo-Nazi regime. On the Ukrainian side, in cities like Kramatorsk, residents are looking...
Now, then they get some old lady who's like, hey, Ukraine. ABC, World News Tonight.
In the meantime, we turn now to the other news this Friday night into the alarming images coming in from Ukraine this evening.
Alarming.
Russia holding so-called referendums now in parts of eastern Ukraine, all part of Vladimir Putin's efforts to annex parts of Ukraine. In fact, there are now pro-Russian soldiers with assault rifles going door-to-door collecting ballots. In fact, security cameras capturing images of these soldiers escorting election officials, collecting those ballots from Ukrainians. The U.S. has been calling these elections a sham.
Sounds like Georgia.
Well, this is exactly what...
No, it sounds like Georgia, the USA, during the last Biden election.
Good point, yes. Well, same script there for us, and it's the same playbook for Putin. This is what he did with Crimea. And the Crimeans went, yeah, okay, whether they were forced or not. So now we have to set it up by saying it's a so-called... Does your clip include the coveted so-called?
I don't have these clips. No, mine's about mobilization. It's not about the referendum.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do the mobilization then.
You got any more?
Yes, I do, I think.
Wrap it.
Hold on.
Do you have any more so-called clips?
No, I don't have a so-called clip. I do have a very short intro for your clips. And this is more of the psychological operation. This is literally from CBS. Jerrica Duncan is the anchor, the CIA broadcast systems. We have to make sure that we're doing everything we can to get rid of Putin, because that is the only solution. There cannot be a sit down. There cannot be a truce. Nothing is. This is also going to be no nuclear wars. But the only thing that will happen, we have to get rid of Putin.
Meanwhile, in Russia, long lines of military aged men are fleeing the country in droves, packing planes and causing traffic jams at border crossings, all to avoid fighting in Ukraine.
Okay, CBS.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, they showed one of these networks showed at the border crossing. It could have been B-roll from anything.
You don't know. I mean, where's my interview?
There's nothing. And so they had a mile long, it was like a convoy of trucks. It wasn't people. People aren't trying to escape Russia in a truck, in a 18-wheeler. And there's this, went for a mile, and then as they were shooting it, a car just shoots by. There was nobody in the car lane. So that was bullshit. Yeah. So
that's one. That's your first one.
Oh, I'm sorry, bull crap. But okay. You're right. I got one. Damn it. Okay.
Two.
I darn it. Dag nabbit.
There you go.
Okay, let's go to Russian mobilization. This is from Deutsche Welle. So the objectivity is not, it's still influenced by Western intelligence, but it's better, that's for sure, than what we're going to get here.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed new laws that increase the penalties for anybody who refuses to fight in Ukraine. On Saturday, security forces arrested hundreds of protesters opposed to Russia's military mobilization. Moscow says it's aiming to recruit up to 300,000 troops to shore up its flagging military campaign in Ukraine.
Police took a hard line against demonstrators protesting against
Russia's first military mobilization since World War II for the conflict in Ukraine. As people took to the streets against the call-up, hundreds were detained in dozens of cities from St. Petersburg to Siberia. One anti-mobilization protester showed up in a wheelchair, holding a sign saying, "Do you want to be like me?" While she wasn't detained, her sign was immediately taken away.
Evil. By the way, we're of course now perceived to be carrying water for Putin. Just want to point that out.
Says who?
Says people who hate our human rights.
Yeah, well, they listen to no better. let's go to clip two of this report. I just got a kick because they showed this woman. She's in a wheelchair and holding this sign, and big Russian guy comes grabs her. Yes, he grabs the sign and.
Did he tip her over?
No, they didn't tip her over. They could have.
They're tipping grannies out of wheelchairs. We need something like that.
Yeah, that's what we need. Yeah,
the problem is Putin foresaw all of this, and he kicked all the NGOs out of the country years ago. To get out, get out. Yeah, it's a very smart move. You can't have those NGOs ruining your business. All right, next clip.
Meanwhile, for this young man, there was just time for a few quick selfies and kisses goodbye on a Moscow street heading to a military training site. He's among thousands being called up to serve in Russia's war with Ukraine.
Maybe that's what we were seeing, is thousands going to training.
His wife runs over for one final hug before he boards the bus.
I'm going to defend my country, that's it. How's my mood? It's excellent. What can you do?
Of course I'm very worried, but I support my husband's decision.
Russian authorities say more than 10,000 volunteers turned up at military enlistment offices across the country after Vladimir Putin issued the order to mobilize reservists this week. While some head off to fight, others are fleeing Russia. Soaring prices for plane tickets mean land crossings, like this one on the border with Georgia. Jammed with traffic, they travel by car or on bicycles or even on foot to get out. Georgia is one of a handful of countries which allow Russians to enter without visas.
The matter is not that we are afraid. The matter is that we don't like the situation. I do not like what they are doing in Ukraine. I feel sorry for our brothers. I have many relatives in Ukraine, and I don't like this at all.
I don't hear any anti-American rhetoric.
No, not yet. There's none in these reports. But I would mention that that last guy, I think, is the real issue here. Because people...
Families.
Forget that they're intertwined. Kyiv, for example, is the origin of the Russian Federation. Russia began there. It's the home. That's why they don't bomb the crap out of it, because it is the home base for the Russians, and it's always been part of Russia. Right, and then all of a sudden, you know, it hasn't, because of one thing or another. The way they busted it up. You have to blame the Soviet era for the way things went, but. There's a lot of people like that who have a lot of relatives in Ukraine, and they don't want to go over there and start shooting people left and right. So they just go take a trip to Georgia and stay there till the thing blows over. And I think there's a lot of that. And I think there's protests for the same reason. It's not very well discussed by American news because we hate Putin and we just want to get rid of him. Anyway, we got part three. This wraps it a little bit.
In Buryatia, a mountainous republic in eastern Siberia, some 6,000 kilometers from Moscow, activists say the Kremlin is placing the burden of the mobilization and the war itself on poor ethnic minority regions. Some men in the region have reportedly gone into hiding. Others have responded to the mobilization order by crossing into neighboring Mongolia.
And DW's Russia analyst Konstantin Egert told us earlier about the scale of what Moscow has called a partial mobilization.
It is partial, probably with regard to the state bureaucracy, which to a large extent from a certain level being exempted from this mobilization. Banking sector employees, because Putin wants the financial system to work. They claim, the authorities claim, that IT sector people will also be exempted. But there are many reports of people with IT sort of specialization being drafted, or rather being called up. It is, I would say, a very traditional Russian chaos, because Putin's system is very much built on basically bureaucrats over-insuring themselves, and that's why the image of people, pretty much everyone, probably apart from these people I mentioned, being called up in shops, on the streets, that is something that is really happening. This system is trying to ensure that the 300,000 people that Putin ordered to be called up will be called up no matter what.
I get a kick of the IT guys are going to be exempt. It's our listeners.
The dude's name Ben. Stay home. Well, that's smart.
That is smart.
Boots on the ground from Latvia, Riga. Anonymous douchebag in future night. He's actually sent me a picture of a grocery store in Riga. Every other row of the lights is shut off. You know, to save energy, as per Queen Ursula.
Oh, yeah.
And also, the picture, he says, fewer shelves, less product. Posters go around Riga to advertise to join the military. Latvia got rid of the draft a while ago, but it's being reinstated January 1st.
Oh, that's not going to go over.
No. No. And who are you going to... Are you going to be called up to fight against Russia, I guess? Also, there was a little bit misinformation about the, we played the clips from reputable sources, how Germany had nationalized the Russian gas or the Russian,
one of the gas companies.
Yeah. Was it a gas company
it was a gas company.
Refiner. Okay. Uniper was property of Fortum from Finland. Fortum had bought it for 7 billion euros, and the German state bought Fortum. So they kind of bought it in the deal, but it was positioned as, they've nationalized the Russian company.
Where did we get their reports from?
Let me see. Uniper.
I mean, you could almost
NPR,
argue.
NPR.
Oh, there
here,
you
let's,
go.
Let's just listen for a second.
The government of Germany has announced it has nationalized the country's largest gas importer, Uniper. From Berlin, NPR's Rob Schmitz tells us this comes as Russia punishes European countries for supporting Ukraine.
Uniper's financials have looked increasingly vulnerable as Russia has cut off gas deliveries to Germany. Germany's government will spend more than $8 billion to acquire nearly 99% of Uniper's shares. After news broke about Uniper's nationalization,
right. Nope.
Company shares fell by more than 20%.
I think they have it wrong. It was
no, they said they bought them. They're right there.
They bought Fortum. I thought they bought Fortum. They didn't buy Uniper. Uniper was a part of Fortum. He just said no. They bought
Uniper.
They got
the thing all screwed up when they start off with nationalized.
Exactly.
Nationalized doesn't mean nationalized, at least in the modern sense. Doesn't mean you do a leverage buyout.
that was not the same.
So
anyway, the Wall Street Journal reporting that support for Kyiv is facing political hurdles. Now that the midterm elections are drawing near. So, you know, Zelensky's probably going to have to ratchet it up. Hence, I guess, the nuclear war. We should be so afraid. There's one other thing. And this kind of started yesterday, and Newsweek reported on the rumor of trending online, rumors of a coup against Xi Jinping.
Yeah, I saw this, and I couldn't find any evidence of it. I thought it may have been a complete hoax.
No, the only evidence, and I got it from multiple places, from military, I got it from aviation, and the aviation guys.
Yeah, but it started as a...
No, let me tell you where I think it started.
Okay.
The army canceled thousands of flights, commercial flights, and there's no explanation. And so that started the rumor that the army there could be a coup underway. Why is the PLA doing this? And then we got the he's under house arrest.
Well, then they added on to it. You know, they stopped all the trains. They did this. They did that.
I didn't see that. Did they stop the trains?
I saw the trains one. Yeah, they took it off to. all commercial flights are out of Beijing have been canceled on the trains. They're not coming in and out. When I saw it and I said, well, this would be, it's just too many people with cameras. And,
yeah, where is it? Yeah,
where's our reports? This is, nowadays, news has to be verified by the man on the street. You know, they always talked about how citizen journalists.
Oh, you mean like those people who fell down flat on their face in China from COVID, that verification?
There has to be some, yes. But yes. That came out, it was obviously a hoax, but, and there's a lot of hoax stuff that comes out, and there's a lot of hoax videos.
It tricked Deborah Birx.
There's a lot of, well, she doesn't know what's going on, but there's a lot of hoax videos, a lot of hoax everything. Everything's, you know, it's just hoaxes everywhere. But until you start seeing, but like, for example, when that grain elevator exploded in Lebanon and took out half the city.
Yeah.
There was a lot of videos of that thing going up.
Yeah.
And they were different from different sources. To do a hoax nowadays and make it actually work, it's going to take a lot more than a couple of tweets.
How about Ukraine? That's a pretty good war. I'd say that hoax worked well.
I never thought it was a hoax, so.
No, but I mean, it's what no longer mentioned is, you know, deplatforming Russia from SWIFT. I mean, that's not a minor thing that you kind of kick off a world event with, is my opinion.
No, they did that. It wasn't like a hoax.
Right, but it's not even
anything happening in Beijing that
good
I can
point,
see.
Good point. It's not a hoax. It is not a hoax. It's a complete screw job setup, and it's to kill everybody. Starve us all out. A lot of people emailed the video of this Dutch politician, Thierry Baudet. I think we talked about him on the show.
No.
He starts railing on his fellow ministers, members of parliament, I should say. In particular, I think that she's maybe the finance minister. I can't remember. She's of some import. She says, hey, you know, you went to the spook school in England. You know, it makes sense. You know, this is where MI6 recruits from. And, you know, probably working with the deep state. He just goes on and on. And it's pandemonium. Everybody walks out of the government. I just want to say, I know this guy. I've talked to him a couple times. He's a nice guy. He has a book out. I think it's called The Great Reset. Or no, what is he called? It's called The COVID Conspiracy. And his party, you know, was on track to win in the last election. So he's pretty important, but he's one of these, he's a politician, you know, and he wants to be your friend and wants to call you all the time. You know what I mean?
So like, it goes, what about it?
What about it? Well, he's a big voice in the Netherlands.
Is he an agent provocateur that dropped into place by the MI6?
No, he's a good guy. Oh, he's okay. Calling out the MI6.
Oh, okay.
I think he's a good guy. A lot of people think he's a douche, but whatever. Then we have pandemonium here in America.
An unlikely story out of Chicago. A man's SUV was stolen twice in one day. First, it was stolen while getting an oil change. He got it back thanks to GPS. But then just 3 hours later, it was stolen at a gas station while he was filling up.
Gone in 60 seconds or less. The nozzle was in the tank and the gas was flying everywhere. Recontacted the two officers that helped me previously and said, you're never going to believe this, but my car was stolen again.
But they found it again using GPS.
A little heavy on the GPS angle there.
Sounds like they're trying to promote something. This sounds almost like a native ad.
Except they never paid it off.
You're filling up your car. This is another good reason to take the keys out of the car if you're filling it up. But this, whether you do or not, you're filling up your car and some guy who I guess you didn't notice got in your car, closed the door, and took off like a rocket?
John.
Leaving you holding the nozzle? This makes sense to anybody?
John, that may not make sense, but what is going on is the poor people are coming out in droves. And, you know, there's looting, there's rioting, there's fires, there's this kind of behavior, and it's not being stopped. There's no cops that come in to break anything up, fights, shootings. The corruption is so obvious at the top that everyone at the bottom is going, yeah, right.
Well, that's because of these district attorneys.
Yes. Well, okay.
How they got in and how they can't get them out is beyond me. I mean, they had to get that idiot down in Los Angeles.
Soros
that
money.
Idiot down in Los Angeles. Yes, Soros. He finances it. He's not in the office. He doesn't have a
room.
No,
I understand. But you know, people buy the washing powder
down in L.A. They try to put a. I mean, we got rid of our guy in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, L.A. has to try it again. Everybody has to try it. Americans buy the washing powder that has the best advertising. No different with politicians. Unfortunately, that's how it works. And then this is from Market Watch. Now, I don't want to get too deep in it. I just want to play one clip because I'm looking forward to Tuesday's DH Unplugged. Headline, a historic global bond market crash threatens liquidation of the world's most crowded trades. ABC, good morning, America, help me.
Now to that wild week on Wall Street. This morning, fears of a recession are growing. The Dow dropping to its lowest point of the year. So what does this mean for the economy and for your money?
Tell me.
ABC's senior business and economics correspondent, Deirdre Bolton, is here now. Good morning, Deirdre.
Good morning, Ariel. It has been a brutal week in the markets. Yesterday, if you look, the Dow dropped nearly 500 points, its lowest level since November 2020. All of this raising concerns from investors, from economists about whether or not we are headed into a global recession. Worries obviously showing up in the stock market, showing up in the energy markets as well. U.S. benchmark oil tumbling below $80 a barrel on Friday for the first time since January. These are on concerns that the global economy basically is already here, according to some. Now, on Wednesday, the Fed raised rates by another 75 basis points.
You got to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
She said, based on the fact that the global economy is already here.
Let me see.
For the first time since January, these are on concern.
I'll go back a little further.
Worries obviously showing up in the stock market, showing up in the energy markets as well. U.S. benchmark oil tumbling below $80 a barrel on Friday for the first time since January. These are on concerns that the global economy basically is already here, according to some.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that means.
What did she say?
I think that maybe
this is the kind of gobbledygook you can do on television. Just say, throw words together and that make no sense. She says the global economy is already here.
She meant to say recession, I think.
But there is no global. We don't know there's a global recession.
It's already here. There's no global recession. I'm sorry. It's already here.
For the first time since January, these are on concerns that the global economy basically is already here, according to some. Now, on Wednesday, the Fed raised rates by another 75 basis points. Higher rates means all loans are more expensive. 30-year mortgage, double the rate that it was in January. And the national credit card rate is now around 18%. This is the 1-2 punch that is making so many investors anxious. People are dealing with significantly higher food and rent prices at the same time as they face these higher borrowing costs.
No, none of this sounds good.
Especially the way she puts it.
She sounds very troubling.
She doesn't know what she's doing, this poor woman.
Here's what I did here. I heard that the treasury market might be the problem. I know we talked about this before, and I'm not sure if that's the problem, but I guess there was no uptake, or the rolling over our debt is slower than expected, because they seem to be bending the rules again, like COVID, and like, you don't have to have any assets to go and buy this stuff. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, there's something like that going on.
Yeah. Well, the guy who explains it all best always has. He's a go-to for me, and we never played him a lot. He used to get a lot of play in 2008, 2009, because he was just yelling and mad all the time, and that's Rick Santelli at CNBC.
Oh, God.
It's only 40 seconds. This one was pretty concise.
The gentleman from Indiana, Mr. Hollingsworth.
Oh, sorry. That's my kicker clip.
No, kaboom.
That's my kicker clip. Oh, crap. Hold on a second. I'm going to cut all of this out. No one will ever hear this on the show.
Yeah, right.
Here it is, Santelli.
It's not only modern monetary theory. It was never a good idea. It was a stupid idea, and we're seeing living proof of that. You can't print forever and think you can get away with it. Look at what the pound's doing. But I think if there's a lesson to be learned here.
By the way, the pound is 109? Did you see that?
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, we need to go on vacation.
With it, look at what the pound's doing. But I think if there's a lesson to be learned here, it's the fact that central bankers in general and governments in particular have this unique relationship that we need to find a way to separate. And it isn't necessarily a political relationship. It's an enabling relationship. They're enablers. By these low interest rates and hanging out at zero for so long, they allowed governments to do anything. They allowed companies to remain that should have died. They ruined the entire infrastructure of global finance. And to think that it's going to come together easily, or if central banks have any plan, there is no way to put this Humpty Dumpty back together. There needs to be lots of financial destruction first, and from that the Arizona will rise. The best fertilizer for the global economy right now is for all of these issues, whether it's foreign exchange, government debt, corporates, all of these financial instruments have to be pushed down to some level that represents true risk to value returns versus the pie in the sky valuations and returns that many were getting with virtually no risk.
You know, this must be Cliches Volume 2.
Yes.
Because he had some in there I've never heard before, but it was just nothing but beginning to end of yes. cornball cliches, and he ends with pie in the sky, of course.
Love that guy. I love that
he
guy.
He's on a, he's on something. He's high.
So, and you know the guy is real, because whenever you're talking to someone who deals with financial markets, they will always talk about finance. I'm in finance. And Santelli says finance. So that's true. The banker and his wife say finance.
Finance. And this is my fiance.
So now this is the House Financial Services Committee. Just to show you what's wrong with our finance sector, have a listen to this. This is Auntie Maxine kicks on. You know, she's the chair of the Financial Services Committee.
The gentleman from Indiana, Mr. Hollingsworth, is now recognized for 5 minutes.
Well, good afternoon. I'm excited to be here with each of you. Before I get started on my questions, Mr. Moynihan, I wanted to let you know, Saruthi, raise your hand, Saruthi. She has been my team member for a couple of years now, but on Monday, she becomes a Bank of America team member, about which she is very, very excited. So I hope you'll take good care of her and know and recognize the talent that she has shown already in our office. I'm sure she'll do the same at Bank of America.
We will do that, and her father already works for us, so he'll take care of
you. You should have called us.
there you go. That's the problem right there. Her dad already works for us. She should have called me. No problem. We'll call you next time around. We're going to hook you up. Now, what question did you have, Sonny boy? It's so openly blatant.
That was the most pathetic thing I've heard for a while.
Well, I have a feeling it'll be like shooting fish in a barrel moving forward, because they're all uncloaking. No one's afraid anymore of the elites. They're not afraid. They just say it. Wait until they hear.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence of that. Makes it easier for us.
Well, yes. Clipping comes naturally. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in sophistry's choice. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend on the other end, please say hello to Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also in the morning, all ships at sea, boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and knights out there.
And the morning to our trolls in the troll room, who have, they've been slow, but they have helped us out quite a bit here today. I appreciate that very much, trolls. Now, a troll, well, you know what a troll is, but maybe you identify as a troll. Maybe you're a bona fide troll. Either way, go check out the trolls. It's kind of like a little zoo. Go to trollroom.io and you hop into the chat there, and you can see what's going on. And of course, you do that while listening live to the No Agenda stream, and you can actually follow and troll, basically just troll. And for us, it's the live studio audience, and sometimes they're incredibly helpful. Let's see how many we have helping us today. Hurry away, these little ugly ass trolls. Okay, trolls, what do you got for me? We have 2082 on the counter today.
Yeah, a little low. It's 200 low.
Well, that's, you know, I'm glad we had so much fun this early part of the show deconstructing, because when I saw the donations, I'm like, you know, like, well, yeah, just the amount of donations, less number of donations. I think, well,
oh, the number of donations is really pathetic, and I can't figure out what the triggering mechanism is.
Well, I know what the trigger is.
Every once in a while.
The trigger is because clearly we didn't provide the value, or something went wrong there.
We have a total, including the everything from $50 up, that means everybody. We have a total of 37 donors. This is out of a listening audience of about 1 million people and a newsletter audience of 30,000. So to get a total of 37, with only like 7, I think, it's just weird.
No, we're not complaining, but I'm just saying, to me.
No, I'm complaining.
I'm just saying it feels like we fell down on the value. I don't know, but I felt like
maybe the show is boring last show.
It's possible. Of course, it's possible. Yeah. Anyway, time, talent, and treasure is what we look for.
But then again, I'll say it again. I said it earlier in the show.
What's that?
Football.
So football is more valuable than the No Agenda show.
I think to a lot of people it is.
I'll accept it. It's hard. Football. Not the whole world doesn't watch football. There's other countries. Anyway, the beauty of the No Agenda show is that you don't have to donate. It's free. You can enjoy it for free forever. We just ask that if you ever have an opportunity to return the value you receive from it, do that in some way. It could also be an email to john@dvorak.org. Just let them know how valuable you think the show is. And that would be appreciated. But we do have to keep the show going, and we do need to have all three of the trifecta. Anyway, trolls can also be found at noagendasocial.com. Now open for registration. Vacancy, vacancy, vacancy. Go to signup.noagendasocial.com and join the club. Or you can always follow Adam at noagendasocial.com, John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com. Through any Mastodon account, any Mastodon server. There was some guy from shitposters.org. I don't know if he's back. You know shitposters? Have you seen them? It's another Mastodon server.
Yes, I have most of them blocked.
Yeah, well, so I think the point was that on the last show, I didn't catch it. Some shitposter sent us a donation and then sent a secret message about being a shitposter in the donation note, which we didn't catch. And he was very happy with himself. And I want him to know.
It doesn't take much to please these guys.
And I want him to know that we're happy with that behavior too. Keep it up. Just donate.
Yes, please.
Keep it
see
up.
What else you can, see what else you can slip by us. See if you can slip anything by us now that we're alerted to your game.
Well, apparently someone slipped by an 88 reference, which we didn't catch. Last show was 1488.
Yeah, what about it? So what? It's not one of our favorite numbers.
No, 88 is 8HH Heil Hitler.
Oh,
someone's
also the lucky number in China, so I don't get it personally.
Yeah, but someone sent a donation note and there was some reference, you know, some neo-Nazi.
So they had
reference.
An 88 cent thing in there? And
something, I'm sure. Yeah, right. And then they're like emailing me, wow, man, did you get hate email? No, not a single one. No.
I've seen those mails, yes. You guys must have really gotten a lot of negative mail for missing that.
No, not a single one. People get upset over the weirdest things. Apparently, did I disparage Dennis Prager and say he's dishonest?
Dennis Prager.
Yeah, from PragerU. I don't think so. I like the guy.
I don't think so either.
What's that? And then I say, what are you talking about?
I mean,
about?
He came up in the conversation because of something. I forgot what it was. It was a reference to something.
Maybe the report or something was dishonest, and that might have come from PragerU. That can be. It is possible for there to be dishonest things everywhere, including shit we do. Oops, sorry. One for me. Yep, there you go.
One down.
One. Okay. So that's the noagendasocial.com. Then we want to thank the artist for episode 1488, very controversial episode number. And this is an artist who has won a couple times now. Nico Syme or Syme, S-Y-M-E.
Recently.
Recently, yes. And... I don't know if this product is known everywhere in the world, unlikely, but there is a product called Miracle-Gro, which is funnier because of the advertisements by the guy who invented the Miracle-Gro product and became, you know, a billionaire. So to morph the packaging, which is just embedded in every American's mind, the green and yellow, and then make it Miracle Grand because of your granny being composted. I mean,
This piece would not have worked. I mean, he got the little 33 in there. He's got every element.
He's got some elements.
It probably wouldn't have worked without the granny on there, which is not on the actual package. There's no pictures of anybody.
There's no granny.
But they have a grandma there pointing at, yay, here I am. I thought was the kicker.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Now, wasn't there something else we discussed that did not make it? Let me see. A lot of dog stuff. I don't remember why. Now with ads, no agenda. What? Yeah. Anxiety detector. Wasn't there something else we looked at?
Grandma. I thought there was a paucity of stuff that was gonna work.
You liked the grandma compost to the... Well, there's another tombstone. We do too many tombstones.
Yeah, we can only do one tombstone every couple
every,
of
every
months.
Every so often, yeah. Exit strategy. Some funny jokes, but...
Great Odin's... Raven was kind of amusing.
Great Odin's Raven. Anyway, it was fun. Oh, Celsius. Yeah, that was kind of cool. We always get a kick out of these, every single one, because you can. We also know the personalities now of the artists. And if we had an actual job, we would know who to call. If we had a real gig and we needed a certain type of art for something.
Oh, we'd have about five people on the line.
Yeah, and we'd know exactly who to contact. So thank you so much.
Now, I have to say, I normally don't comment on upcoming art,
mm-hmm.
But there's a piece coming up called This Won't Get Picked by Correct the Record, which is the Canadian $1 bill with my picture on it. I want a copy of this in high res. It's very humorous.
Would you also like some playing cards to put in your spokes? That's kind of cool, I guess.
It's just a funny picture. So
If you're listening live, you can go to noagendaartgenerator.com. Sir Paul Couture, value for value, set that up over 27,000 pieces of art ago. Let me see if I'm right there. What's the number? 27,480 art pieces ago.
Yeah, we could actually stop collecting art and use the old art and go on for about 5 years.
No, we could actually just sell NFTs and stop the show.
Well, that would, yeah.
Just sell NFTs. That's our exit strategy. Art generator NFTs for life. Yeah, right. So you can follow along live there. You can just refresh and thank you, Sir Paul Couture, for setting that up once again. Or use one of the, now I must say the amount of apps and services expanding to podcasting 2.0 is growing every single day. We just got a whole Polish, like in Poland, they have their own podcasting ecosystem. And now
it all went to 2.0
podcasting podcasty.info podcasty.com.
Huh.
Yeah. Podkasty podcasty. That's apparently that means podcasting podcasty. So podcasty it's everywhere. And the chapters is the first thing most apps are integrating. So we're going to get Pocket Cast. We're going to get Overcast. It's, you know, it takes time for people to develop things, but everyone's buying in. They see it. It's done. So Spotify, can do whatever they want. It's unimportant. Unimportant, I tell you. Now, let us thank our executive and associate executive producers who have kindly supported us with some treasure for today's episode 1489. We kick it off with Brian Stewart from Lindenhurst, Illinois. $1,000. We weren't really complaining, obviously, but we do notice trends.
Yeah.
In the morning, my big brother, Sir Tyler Fox, Viscount of the Airwaves, hit me in the mouth about 7 years ago. Unfortunately, I listened to my first episode with a major woke doke libtard in the car. She was so outraged after Adam referred to Obama as a watermelon head, I had to turn it off. Now, I need to say so. I followed up with him. I said, are you sure that it...
I agree. It jumped out at me, too. It doesn't make sense.
And I realized if I had actually said that, even I would have caught that as clearly a racist remark. And I
absolutely
said,
you talked about John. You mentioned John Kerry. As,
yeah.
And so she, this is typical of these people, they look for it. It's like the old stereotype of the
hammer and nail.
Everything's a nail.
But I want to hear the lesbian analogy, please. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Well, you know, it's like the Janine Garofalo thing where she Garofalo. Anyway, she is, you know, she played a character in a couple of movies, and all everything she whenever anybody said anything, it was some sort of an offense. Everything was offensive. What do you mean by that?
What happened to her?
I think she's actually so close to that character in terms of being just a terrible person that she can't get work.
Oh goodness!
I don't know. Maybe she's working. If we look at her list, she just might be in a lot of minor things. I don't know.
Years later, I grew some balls and a beard and started listening again, just in time for COVID. Yay! Odin be praised. It's catching on. Now I never miss an episode. The show kept me sane while running my business and dealing with the M5M zombie horde throughout the pandemic. And I want to make a point here. This is what I appreciate about Brian. He says, hey, we had a crap show going on with COVID. Praise Odin, because we needed to be kept sane running my business. And all that we had was the M5M just filling me with horrible messaging. So I'm glad you value that so highly. That's really appreciated.
And I think he probably must have ditched that woman.
Oh, please. She didn't make it past the passenger door. I'd like to take this opportunity to call on the No Agenda Nation to support Sir Tyler Fox's awesome product, Numix. Ah, yes, we've talked about this. Numix.
It makes.
I'm glad you asked. It makes. Numix. PNU. It's a horrible name. Numix. PNUMIX. It makes freshly mixed cold or hot cocktails anywhere, anytime. And it needs the No Agenda Nation support to help make it happen. Go to numix.com/noagenda to reserve yours and support the product. Yeah, this is the martini mixer. It's kind of the...
Yes, it's a drink mixer. Yeah, maker. It's a drink maker.
It should be sold. If you bought it on Amazon, I don't think you can buy it on Amazon. They would always recommend a beer hat to go with this particular item, because you carry it everywhere and you drink the cocktail right out of the Numix device. I mean, it's
there's a similar device. I don't even know if it's made by the same company or not, or these might be coming out of China, that makes just mixed milkshakes. They advertise it on TV, and you carry it and you drink out of the whole thing.
Is it battery powered? You take it with you. That's cool. A milkshake.
Rechargeable batteries.
Yeah. Numix. All right. Go reserve yours. Please knight me Sir Odinson, king of the cold and keeper of the old gods. And we shall. We shall make it so. Thank you, Brian Stewart.
No jingles, no karma?
No jingles, no karma.
Well, then let's move to Daniel Hollingsworth in Southgate, Kentucky. And he came up with a devilishly interesting number, 666.66. Chauncey the Buzzkill mispronounced my name. Okay, let's take a look. Yeah.
Daniel Hollingsworth? What's wrong with the Hollingsworth?
I don't know. Chauncey the Buzzkill mispronounced my name. 333.33 wasted.
Oh, no.
Down the drain.
Oh, no. Wait. I think he sent this clip. Hold on. What is this?
On SoundCloud, on Twitter, and SoundCloud.
I don't know what that was, but that goes with the 666 donation.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
That was weird.
Throw that, you better burn it.
That was weird.
Fortunately, I did a make good, which might actually triple the value for my two sons, Milo and Sterling.
Oh, cool.
Today, become a knight of the round table, according The accounting is very clear. I am Sir Scottie Pippen. Was he in Chicago? No. God willing, the Queen will recognize his greatness and his true multi-billion and billion-dollar value. I have nothing more to say ever as this, sir. Thank you. Oh, I'm reading it per se.
I know.
Thank you. Oh, except I want crunchy tacos and ground beef, and I need a penny. Oh, there it is. Yours, Daniel Hollingsworth. Here's a song I wrote for the newsletter or anything else. Check the date of the next show, 9:25. The 9-to-5 life ain't for me. Oh, yes, sir. I've got to be free. I'm putting the 666.66 evil out of my bank account and into yours. God grant me karma. Shrink my amygdala. Open the
pineal gland.
And that's all I got.
Okay. Oops, sorry. immediate de-douching. I'm sorry.
You've been de-douched.
Hold on. Let me get it. It's karma. Get that out of the way.
You've
too.
Got karma.
So first of all, crunchy tacos and ground beef, my favorite, have to admit. Daniel is an interesting guy because he shows up on group emails. Because apparently I'm in a group with Glenn Beck, Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? So yeah. He will email us regularly with stuff. So he's a very interesting character in our life. Thank you, Daniel. I've got the crunchy tacos and the ground beef for you. Anonymous, $400 from Walla Walla, Washington, not far from Hooey Hooey. Thank you for the outstanding content. The 33s nearly every time I check the clock kept reminding me of my douchebaggery, hoping this will provide reprieve. Well, maybe I should give him a de-douching then, just to make sure.
You've been de-douched.
Done.
All right, now we got Michael Molina in Fortuna, California, 34322. Now, this is interesting because I don't know how we're ever supposed to find this. Luckily, he did put donation in the subject line, but it's not from him. It's from, you know, if you look up Molina, forget it. ITM John and Adam, please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
It's been 2 years, 2 months, 22 days, and 22 seconds since I was hit in the mouth by friend Ian, who is still a douchebag. Does that mean we...
Oh, let me douchebag it.
Okay. This donation is long overdue. 34322 are my initials turned sideways when added 22 for a numerology bonus. Also, episode 489 equals 22.
Mm.
Yeah. please call out the following douchebags.
All right.
Caleb.
Douchebag.
And Seth.
Douchebag.
Now, I sure read this first, but I'll give this to you because there's more to read after this. There's jingles he wants to screw your freedoms, get vaccinated, and Greta Thunberg saying blah, blah, blah. And also, I need a jobs karma for all Californians who have lost their job thanks to the mismanagement of the cannabis industry. Oh, he must have been in the cannabis industry.
Oh, goodness.
Thank you for your amazing media deciphering, Mike.
So it was screw your freedom, Biden get vaccinated, Thunberg, blah, blah, blah?
Yep.
I don't know. Do we have a blah, blah, blah?
I don't know that we do. I've never heard it. And a jobs karma.
Maybe.
Blob.
Yeah, I do have it. Ooh, it's amazing. It's amazing what we can do here.
Screw your freedom.
Get vaccinated.
Blah, blah, blah. Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote.
I don't know why it was funny.
You got karma.
I kind of dug it. That was fun to put together. Yeah, it was fun to put together. Thank you, Michael. The Ohio bloke's birthday. Shout outs to his keeper, bloke Sheila, for 50 trips around the sun on the 26th, and H.R. Nockix, N-O-C-K-I-X, who turns 21 on the 28th, and belated to the son of a bloke who turned 24 on the 17th. Wow. Yak karma for all. Thank you for your courage.
You've got karma.
Brian Lowe in St. Joseph, Missouri, 333.33, and I have another printout.
Oh, are there jingles? Let me know up front.
None.
Okay, good.
But? There's, get your pen.
Here we go.
Okay, first of all, this is I want to attribute, boys, he starts. Please attribute the 333 donation to my son. So, Brian Lowe's son, okay. I guess.
No name.
And... No, then give it. And de-douche him.
Okay. You've been de-douched.
And add him to the birthday list for last week, the 19th. So Brian Lowe's son, happy birthday on the 19th of September, which wasn't that long ago. And that will do it. That's
happy.
It. So he says thanks.
What birthday was he?
Doesn't say. I'm just reading what they said.
Wrote happy nothing. Birthday
to Brian Lowe's son.
Yeah, the 19th. 19th?
Yeah, 19th.
So on the 19th. Okay, put that up there. Okay, got it. No problem.
Thanks.
Yeah, we can do this stuff. Sir Tommy Hawk of the Heartland, first associate executive producer, 248 from Iowa City, Iowa. ITM, gents, let's dial up some Rev Al! You have no idea how many people love the Rev Al teleprompter gag. You know, and I'm sometimes like, you know, we play it so often, but people they just love it. They do. I mean, people crank it up. It doesn't matter how many times they've heard it. So let's dial up some Rev Al to celebrate my show day birthday today. Made it to 48. Things have been so much better since discovering the best podcast in the universe. R2-D2 Karma for all, Sir Tommy Hawk of the Heartland.
Thanks. Good evening to you, Ed. Is this Crown Hog Day 2? We are watching that was Attorney General Eric Holder, ADD's, about some Republicans at home are already beating the drums of war. Today, the Pentagon refuted that claim. And he said the American people do not want him to, quote, dwindling. They do not want him dwindling his thumbs. You can get a gig as a contortionist, intravenous fluids and pills coated with gelatin. We don't leave our women or men in uniform behind. It's a monument to the hubris of Dick Cheney, Representative Raul Ara Labrador. Years of abuse. I personally apologized to Mr. Peebus. Just ask to soon-to-be former Peebus. Congressman. Democrats are outright jitty. CIA's counterterrorism center. Veteran Affairs Secretary Shinsky. Why do I always mess up his name? Shinseki. I love my critics to have fun with that.
You've got...
I'm glad people still request it. It never tires, does it?
It's totally a gem. So that was our associate executive producers. Whoops. And executive producers for show 1489.
Whoops.
I want to thank each and every one of them for helping us out here. There have been moments 5-6 years ago where you got none.
Yeah, it has happened, sure.
So this is close to that as far as modern era is concerned. But I want to thank each and every one of them. And we got another show coming up next Thursday, the big show.
That's a big show on Thursday?
Well, it's going to be bigger than this one.
That'll be 1490. The countdown is on. 10 more to go until episode 1500. Before that, we hit our 15th anniversary on October 26th. Is that it? October 26th, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. And remember, the douchebags are limited in supply. So just saying, the supply chains.
Shipments on the way.
That's what they say. I've heard that from China. I'm not so sure. Anyway, these are forever credits. It's a very good point you make in the newsletter. These credits are forever. They don't go away. They can't be whitewashed. They're recorded everywhere, spread throughout the internet, just like this show itself. And we always encourage people to... since we don't care about how many downloads we get, we just care about, can we continue doing the show by paying our rent and living? And so far, almost 15 years, so good. So you get executive producer for episode 1489 or associate executive producer. Well, we have one associate executive producer. You can display that proudly anywhere credits are recognized. You can put it on business cards. IMDb is where you'll find a lot of Hollywood bigwigs using this very same credit because, hey, we're bad. We're nationwide. If you want to learn more, go
LinkedIn,
here.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yes.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you again for the time, talent, and treasure for episode 1489 of the best podcast in the universe.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Shut up, slave.
Well, there's something we haven't done for a while, but I like to do every so often because it's funny.
Okay.
Which is the C-SPAN call-ins. And we had some combative ones recently.
Now, we should explain C-SPAN is a cable, is sponsored by the cable industry in America. It was part of the deal somehow, if I recall.
Well, the reason for its existence is largely because the cable companies had no obligation to do public service broadcasting, and they were being condemned for it, and it was hurting their business. And they said, you know what, if we do this, we put this on the package, we can sell these cities on our services, and we can put in more cable systems around the country without anyone bitching at us.
Right.
And so it was done for the purpose of promoting cable TV over broadcast TV.
And also the politicians like the idea of being able to have a free clipping service for their performative actions they do during hearings, etc., because that's exactly what it is. It's been our well forever, and I give them props. I love the transcripts. You know, you can search on certain words, people can make, in fact, people don't do this enough. You know, you go to cspan.org, you can create an account, and you don't even need an email address. You can just create an account, and you can start clipping, and you can send us the links to the clips. It's really handy, and this is where the gold lives.
There's a lot of gold.
There's a lot of gold. Here we go. Let's give us some.
So gold. Here we go. This is Pedro, who is one of the hosts, and he was, I don't know why, but they really decided to give him grief. Let's start with the intro.
Okay, the intro. When you say Pedro, I've... Sure.
C-SPAN call-ins polls intro. And this, okay, since you've stopped me, this is a call-in specifically about Joe Biden's numbers going up in the polls. What do you think?
Oh, okay.
On the president's rising numbers and what you think of them. Vicky in Orlando, Florida starts us off on our Republican line. Vicky, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. The only reason Joe Biden's poll numbers, as you say, is going up, the only people y'all got to be polling is Democrats, because they're the only ones that believe what he says.
Okay. Let's hear from Bob.
No, I'm glad that they got a call from Hill Country, Texas. That's fantastic.
And so they got rid of her real quick.
Vicky,
so they go to this next
Vicky, and Vicky, pretty heavy on the pipes there, Vicky.
Well, she likes to drink. And so let's go to the polls. This is the sarcastic guy comes in. It takes Pedro forever to figure out that he's being sarcastic.
Which one is
And
this?
Then he gets pissed off about it.
Let's hear from Joe. Joe on our independent line, Stanford, Connecticut. Hi,
hey,
Joe.
Good morning, Pedro. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Every morning when I wake up, I say, thank God, President Biden foreign policies are so great, because that's what's on my mind every morning when I wake up, you know? Not the inflation, you know, not the crime, not the border. It's foreign policies. Yeah. And the only reason why the foreign policies are so high is because he's sending billions to Ukraine. Billions. And this poor woman that you just spoke to, right? She's happy that she's getting food stamps from President Biden. She's happy about that.
So as far as Ukraine, or at least foreign policy, is concerned, the president's handling specifically on that, is it just the money being sent or the assistance, or are there other factors when it comes to foreign policy that you approve of?
Pedro. He should worry about that woman that just spoke to you about receiving food stamps.
Okay, but you brought up foreign policy, so what other foreign policies are you specifically worried about?
No. You were bragging about how his foreign policies is 45%, the approval rating.
Okay,
and but I'm just trying to tell you that every morning when I wake up, that's the first thing that I think about. Thank God, his foreign policy is so high.
So you're being,
I can't afford to eat anymore.
Okay, so you're being sarcastic then. Okay, then let's go to our Republican line.
Oh man, Pedro, you know what we say?
Whoa, you got butt slammed.
Yeah, Pedro.
Well, then that gets that brings that triggered everybody. So let's go with the combat guy who's just going to go after him.
A former president of the United States, which has been treated like no other individual in the history of this nation.
Okay. We'll move on to independent line. Al, Watertown, Tennessee. Hello.
Yeah, I want you to make a note of how you treated the last three callers. The gentleman that was sarcastic, you challenged him. The lady who said that there was nothing behind the numbers, you challenged her. The Democrat said he voted for Trump. He challenged him. My point is that I've been watching C-SPAN for 20 or 25 years. Look at the topic, Biden falling poll numbers. Have you seen that one? No, we have the Biden rising poll numbers, but never would we see Biden falling poll numbers. When someone makes a claim, Greta asks them, where do you get your information? Very combative. The lady yesterday, she says, just definitively, we all know conservative media pushes misinformation. She said that as a statement.
Well, you've said a lot already, so when it comes to the topic at hand, what do you think about these rising numbers?
Pedro.
Well, the topic at hand probably comes from the New York Times or the Washington Post. Those are the liberal news organizations you get your fundamental topic selection from.
Okay, it's but just, to the numbers themselves, do you have any thoughts on the rising numbers themselves or why they're happening?
C-SPAN needs to take an introspective look, possibly hire an ombudsman to sort your bias out.
Caller, we invite people to call in on a specific topic. This is the topic we've chosen. I assume that when you called in on this topic. So I'm going to give you one more chance. Do you want to respond to the topic at hand?
You probably need to hire an ombudsman to get back on track.
Okay, let's go to Jason. Jason and Wake.
So this guy who called him, there's a lot of people in Fredericksburg like that. And, you know, and one of the places we hang out is at Vapealicious, Kathy and Jerry's vape shop right across from HEB. People know what's going on. They really do. And it's a lot more than your news media is letting. And you know, these C-SPAN call-ins, they're going to have to stop. They're going to have to stop the show.
They're too good.
I hope they don't, but they're going to have to. It's going to get too. Pedro is losing his shit.
You know, Pedro said that his edge. So they wrap it up. This is going to be the last one. I skipped over one. This is the final one where the guy goes nuts on Pedro, and this is probably a good way to finish it.
Okay, let's go to Jason. Jason and Wake Forest, North Carolina, Republican line. Hi.
Yeah, whatever. That's absolutely amazing how you treated that guy and the guy before. This is the problem with you, Pedro. You take a Democrat that doesn't agree with you, and you push your freaking agenda. We're sick of it.
Okay, but I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the previous caller as far as these numbers. What do you think?
Who, Adolf Biden? I'll tell you what I think about Adolf Biden's numbers. I think every time there's an election coming up and good little socialists like you get to push your agenda and help Joe Biden, you will take every advantage of it that you can. It's a lie. They're all lies. Nobody gives a damn about Joe Biden. And personally, I hope he dies.
Well, I'm going to stop you there only for the nature of your rhetoric.
This is getting good, and it's not too long. These are good clips. Do you have any more? Was that it?
Pedro keeps it moving along.
Well, I'm going to. So we both have the same clip, which I'm going to play next. At least I presume it is, because it's from the school board in California there, the gays against groomer guy.
Yeah, the we uncle. Couldn't resist getting this is going to be a dupe clip. It wouldn't surprise me. But this guy was this is a rehearsed bit. It's because they have to do it within 2 minutes.
He read it well.
He had good intonation. He made all his points. I thought this was outstanding.
Ditto.
Good evening.
For a lecture. It was a lecture to the school board members, and all that was missing was his waving his finger
and a snap in Z four and two snaps in a Z formation. And he also had a cool t-shirt on, groom dogs, not kids.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Good evening. My name is Mario Presents, and I'm here as a representative from Gays Against Groomers Coalition with over 250,000 followers across social media and as the uncle of two students in your district.
He also has the perfect gay intonation. Not too much, but so clearly gay. But
it's
also
the more modern version of the
the
one in San Francisco where you just go crazy. Nobody talks like that.
Yeah, they do in San Francisco.
It has come to our attention that the district intends to teach transgenderism to children under the age of 10 without parental consent. If I were to teach your child about my sexuality without your consent or involvement, I'd be arrested. But when the school district does it, it's education. Districts are teaching transgenderism when they should be teaching science, math, and language. Instead, teachers are hiding student pronouns from their parents under the guise of gender affirmation. Can you imagine the uproar if schools were evangelizing or baptizing children without parental consent? Isn't that sort of what you're doing? You don't tuck these children in at night. You don't teach them to stand up to bullies. You don't pay their medical bills, and you certainly don't hold their hands in the hospital. These parents do. Simple truths based in science need to be upheld for our society to flourish. The gross indoctrination we're seeing is creating a lifetime of medication and hormones because you can't simply pause puberty. Men cannot become women, and sex chromosomes are encoded into the fabric of our DNA. Simply affirming a teenager's gender is akin to affirming anorexia. Both are body dysmorphic disorders, yet we don't teach the starving teenagers how to binge and purge or affirm that they are indeed overweight. However, school districts, including yours, seem to have no issue secretly teaching girls that they can be boys because they feel uncomfortable in their bodies. A grown adult woman can't get a hysterectomy without extensive medical forms and doctor's visits. But Dr. Safir over the hill in Sherman Oaks is willing to do top and bottom surgery, sterilizing children for life. Parents must be a part of the education process when teaching sexuality to students, and it definitely doesn't need to happen under the age of 10 years old.
And he had 2 seconds left, and he totally did a little sachet dip as he walked off, didn't he? Did you see that? Like, hey, holla girl. Love that. I got to get me that groom kids, a dogs not kids t-shirt. And if you want to hear a guy like that, but I think his postmodern gay mannerisms are better, even better. And he's a professional. Is the Disaffected podcast? Is Josh? He's in New Hampshire. Man, that's ground zero for a lot of this craziness. And so he's a big Gays Against Groomers guy. It's very interesting to listen to, and I'm happy because the gays and the lesbians are getting pushed out.
Yeah, that's part of the scheme.
Now, I want to play one clip that I would not have clipped unless you had taught us something about supermarket behavior with the Zoomers, maybe millennials, but this is a Zoomer. I don't know if you saw this. I have to set the scene because it was recorded on video by a person, a man who in the supermarket, apparently, allegedly, this Zoomer girl cut in front and he said, excuse me, something to the effect of, we don't know for sure. Excuse me, I'm in line. And she has a full-on meltdown. And she's shaking. She's shaking and crying with a mask on, with a mask. And this person, the guy who apparently said, hey, you're cutting in front of me. He even thinks it's a hoax at some. He said, what is going on here? He said, I just told you.
You'd start looking for the cameras.
And well, he's holding the camera himself. And she then said, I'll just tell you what she said so you can get the context, but it's really what happens at the end that I think I figured out what happened here. And she says, I was just raped a little while ago or 2 weeks ago or something, and I can't stand any man touching me. To which he says, I didn't touch you. But I think someone raped her with words. I'm presuming this is what it feels like. Yeah. Now listen to what happens in this.
I didn't touch you, man.
It's not that long ago when I can't stand another man touching me.
Well, no one did that.
Is this a prank? Oh,
man, he won't go away. He won't go away. He's a fucking problem.
I need to leave?
No, no.
I still got. Okay. She threw some of my stuff.
Okay.
Hell if I know. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, she wasn't sorry when she cut in line and then screamed.
I didn't see you.
To make it. I just asked her if she saw
just
anyone in line.
Just go.
That's
leave.
An adult.
You're back in your line.
I'm just talking.
Walk up to Chris. Walk with Chris.
So I think what happened is he said, excuse me, don't you see me? I'm in line. And you taught us that line cutting is such a gross violation of the code that I think she's flipping out. And she even says, I didn't see you. I think she's flipping out because she actually is a line cutter. There's no other reason for this behavior that she's flipping out. She's going hysterical. You don't think so?
What I've discussed is the fact that if you have a line and is filled with Zoomers and some mostly and millennials, and somebody cuts in the line, you have to either be Gen X or Boomer to tell them, hey, you cut in line, and then they go to the back.
Right.
Because the Gen X and the Zoomers won't say anything. They let people cut in line, but they don't like it. But they can't say anything because they're non-confrontational. So this may be something else. Well, besides the fact this woman's psycho.
But these are the people I'm worried about, man. These are all around us. They're among us. They're among us.
What to do.
They're among us.
They are. They're among us.
It's frightening.
Well, I wanted to go back to the topic at hand, which was these gender issues.
Well, I was going to give you big props. So back to the issue at hand is congratulations. You were right. You and Mimi.
Oh, about the phony baloney guy?
Yeah, so it turns out this guy...
The guy with the big
tits. Boobs? Yeah, he was branded as a toxic male teacher, and they were going to kick him out, and he got all kinds of warnings for, you know, his toxic masculinity because he was against all this woke crap, and he just flipped it on its head. This is the messaging I've gotten.
I believe this probably is right.
Yeah. Nah, that's
puts on the blonde wig, changes his name, buys those crazy breasts with the nipples.
But see, Tucker Carlson has this all wrong.
Oh, I think Tucker blew it.
Completely missed this.
Yeah,
this is genius. We need more of this because it. You know, they can't if they say, "Well, you're making a mockery of it." Oh, are you kidding me?
Can't do it.
You can't.
He found a niche.
Well, it's a niche that everybody can apply. There's no risk.
If you got the guts.
It's a no-risk niche. NRN.
And you get a lot of publicity. If you had a book or something, it'd be great.
Oh, wouldn't it, though? Yeah.
So this is the clip I wanted to play in the last show. This is the Trans Buddies clip. This is at Vanderbilt University. They have this operation. If you're trans at Vanderbilt,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to go see the regular doctors or anything else. You go to the Trans Buddies clinic.
Okay, cool.
And this is a little lecture here about the Trans Buddies clinic.
My name is Sean Riley, and I'm the program coordinator for Trans Buddy at the Program for LGBTQ Health at Vanderbilt University. Trans Buddy provides trained peer advocates for transgender patients who are coming for doctor's appointments or other healthcare-related services. Whether you're looking for something that's related to medical transition, such as hormone therapy, or something completely unrelated, like breaking an arm or going to an ENT, we are here to help support any transgender patients that come through our doors. The Trans Buddy program was organically created through the efforts of transgender people and continues to consistently be led by trans people in Middle Tennessee. The Trans Buddy program is a one-of-a-kind in the nation, and institutions are looking to Vanderbilt to replicate and expand programs like ours.
We're not seeking to find solutions often for people's problems. We're just seeking to be there and to accompany and to be a friendly face. And to be a non-medical face in a place where everybody coming in the room is going to be a healthcare provider and may be unsafe.
Okay.
Can I make one suggestion before you go any further?
Yeah.
You should not look up transbuddies.com.
Oh, God, I can imagine. You're just saying that. I know what you mean. Okay. So the kicker is the last couple of seconds of that clip. Yes. Where this is a different clinic, because you're not going to go into a regular doctor's office where it might be unsafe.
Unsafe, yes.
Now, why would it be unsafe in a regular doctor's office? Well, obviously the reasons is the doctor might, opinion.
Violate your human rights.
Doctor may actually be honest, There's a lot of different reasons. Their argument against that little commentary in that particular clip elsewhere was that, well, these other doctors might misgender you, and that would hurt your feelings. But I don't think that's it. I think what it really amounts to is something I talked about a couple of shows ago, which refers to, and it's available actually as a PDF file, Jacques Ellul's Propaganda, the book. And this book, which everyone should read, it discusses propaganda in the modern
sense. It's at noagendabooks.com.
And how it works does require siloing people within the propagandized community. And this is a way of doing that. Instead of letting them find out anything other than the litany of this transgender gender movement, of the queer movement. The queer movement, you have to keep them in the silo. And this is just another example of how that works. And this is bad for everybody. This is really not the way to live a life. But okay, if you want to convinced, go ahead.
It also feels a bit like the pill mills from the opioid crisis. You go to this doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Marijuana, medical marijuana license. It feels a little bit like that. Yeah. Let's listen to the last 11 seconds.
And to be a non-medical face in a place where everybody coming in the room is going to be a healthcare provider and may be unsafe.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Maybe unsafe.
Yeah.
So now the other one is just a throwaway. This is just another one of these clips. These were all taken down from the Vanderbilt University website, but it was on there. And this is talking about gender hormones. It was one of those meetings where they have, who should get the gender hormones? Because it's a big point of controversy. It's kind of ruining, by the way, this whole issue is ruining the libs of TikTok account.
Why is it ruining it?
Because it's putting too much emphasis on these sorts of clips and less emphasis, because this is where I got it, and less emphasis on the crazy-haired, nose-ring weirdos calling themselves non-binary and complaining. That's the clips I like.
Yes, and also pretending that they're teachers, because we're not even sure they're teachers.
And pretending probably that they're teachers, but let's go with this clip and get it out of here.
We can provide gender-affirming hormones on an individual who is on a pubertal blocker, depending on whatever kind of blocker they've chosen or we have discussed with them, or they can present to us at a later stage of puberty, and then we provide the gender-affirming hormones. Previously, the Endocrine Society recommended to start these at age 16, but we all know that would be delayed puberty, right? Not 16-year-olds don't start puberty. So more recently, they did update that to say as early as 14.
I want to get those numbers in there so we know that they were not talking about mature adults.
That's pretty sick, man. What's going on? It's pretty sick. Pretty sick. Well, although Canada is doing something. They've been doing this for a long time, but now we're just getting the reports. It's commonplace. It's normal. And this is the E option. The big E option, which is euthanasia.
They're trying to promote this. This is kind of interesting. You're right. You have a clip?
I do.
Everyone comes in and we sit around dad and they give him the medications and that was that. He felt that he was more of a
God.
Imagine.
I wish that my daughter.
Imagine Jay.
Hey, he was here a minute ago.
Well, okay, man, it's like we gave him the medication and we all hung out and we said, boy, it's a mess in this office. And that was that. And it was done.
Everyone comes in and we sit around dad and they give him the medications and that was that.
Wow.
This is beautiful.
Okay. Just for the stupidity of that clip, I'm giving you a clip of the day.
Oh, I'm going to take it now. Otherwise, you might change your mind. Clip of the day. All right, we go back now. We play the whole clip.
Everyone comes in and we sit around Dad and they give him the medications. And that was that. He felt that he was more of a nuisance to the staff there, and that it was just easier just to go and not be a bother to anybody. I didn't realize that it was for like everyday people, basically, right? Until my sister Sue said, hey, no, this is actually a thing in Canada now. So instead of giving them a hand, helping them with services and, you know, supporting them and making sure that they're stable, this is just the easy way out and it's cheaper.
And it's cheaper. It's cheaper.
Key word.
Hey, okay. New Curry and Dvorak promotional item, guns for granny. You got to be ready for your shitty ass grandkids. They're going to come along and they're going to kill you. So yeah, you need to be packing heat, granny. Wow. And it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. So while we're on the healthcare,
there's more to topic. The clip. There's more to the clip.
Oh, there's it goes on.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, supporting them and making sure that they're stable. This is just the easy way out, and it's cheaper.
The whole premise of the legislation, I think, is built on a discriminatory kind of approach to people with disabilities. I would say it's a big problem. I mean, in my patient practice, I have had patients who have mentioned that they'd rather die and choose MAID than be poor. I believe that most Canadians think that this is a service of compassion offered for people who have nothing left to be offered, and they're being offered death as a way out, when in fact, the system is being applied so liberally and so easily in such a short time period that people are dying who would have recovered with greater care and resources to live.
No, don't bum me out. Service of compassion. I'm feeling it. It's cheaper.
Cheaper.
It's like service of compassion.
It's cheaper. So I went back to the Biden giving his little talk at the Global Health event.
Yes.
And I managed to put together a clip, a single 16-second clip, which really summarized his entire speech, I thought. And I said, well, since I got this, I might as well run it out to you. Let's listen to this.
Friends, fellow leaders, Bill, thank you for that introduction. And over the, excuse me, surveillance capabilities. Folks, we have so much to do. So let's get to work.
I got a 15-second clip from Biden as well, which I found to be very informative. This is about those horrible assault weapons.
Think about it. What in God's name do you need an assault weapon for? It's an assault weapon designed to kill people, to defend America, to defend people. But folks, look, we're just way out of hand.
Mr. President, that's exactly the point. It's to defend America, to defend people from you. He says it. How dumb is that guy? I mean, they've really got to, but there was something. Yeah, I didn't clip it, but there was this long speech by one of the Martha's Vineyard ladies, you know, after the outrage of the migrants. Hey, man, there's a whole I'm gonna leave that for the next show. I'm sorry, I shouldn't even brought it up. It's too complicated. Instead, let's see how the big pharma is running scared. And number one. The number one scaredy cat poopy pants is no hero. It's Dr. Paul Offit. You know, the guy who went like, yeah, I didn't approve that vaccine. That guy, I think he's bringing in all kinds of, what is the term?
Trouble. Chaos.
Chaos. Well, now he's getting on big time TV, real people TV.
The only information about these specific shots is from studies in mice. It's not only that we don't have clinical data, seeing whether it works, which makes sense because, you know, we're doing this on the fly. We don't have immune data in people.
Nearly 2.5 years into this pandemic and new vaccine boosters appear to be on the horizon. The latest from Pfizer and Moderna would target the BA4 and dominant BA5 Omicron subvariants. But Dr. Paul Offit, a renowned vaccine expert at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, who is also on the FDA's 21-member Vaccine Advisory Committee, is telling people who may want the shot to wait until there's more information from the drug companies.
Right now, they're saying that we should trust mouse data, and I don't think that should ever be true. I don't think you should ever ask tens of billions of people.
Don't trust mouse data, people.
To get a vaccine based on mouse data.
Dr. Offit explains mice and other animals are typically the first to be tested in preclinical trials whenever a new vaccine is made.
And that tells you whether or not something is at least immunogenic, that it can induce an immune response that you think might be protective. And it also tells you whether or not you have an obvious safety problem. And then you slowly go into people, so-called phase one trials.
And there's no public data on that yet. What's more, for these fall booster shots, the FDA is not consulting with Dr. Offit and the rest of the Independent Vaccine Advisory Committee.
The reason to consult us is because when you do that, when you consult us, that's open to the public. So we'll get then all the data from the two companies, which then is available to the public. By not doing that, by simply saying we don't need that advice, what they're also saying is we're not going to be transparent about what we have to the American public. And I just think that's not fair.
Keep in mind, this is just one opinion. Others on the FDA advisory committee may have different views, especially considering that time is of the essence in this pandemic to protect people. Also, everyone has unique health circumstances, so patients should choose what's right for them. And while the FDA may end up authorizing these shots, remember, it's up to the CDC to decide whether to recommend the use for different age groups or not.
Yeah, I think that guy's trying to cover his ass. He knows what's coming. He knows. And what's coming.
Yeah, I think he might. You might be absolutely right about that. That's maybe all he's doing. He's getting himself out of the way of the bulldozer.
Yep. And if you listen to this next testimony from a nurse from San Diego who was fired for saying, hey, shouldn't we report this to the VAERS system? Mistake.
Tony Bittner, I came before you guys a year ago. I'm a nurse, or at least I was, at Rady Children's in the cardiovascular intensive care unit until Nathan and his misinformation pandemic caused me to lose my job. I took care of those children who came in with myocarditis after the vaccine. And I talked to the doctors because I was a charge nurse saying, why aren't we reporting these to VAERS? Who is going to report these to VAERS? It was an unspoken thing that we were not allowed to talk about openly on the unit. I've worked for 13 years in this community, taking care of some of the sickest patients. The day before I was taken away from my position, I was actively giving compressions to a child, pushing Abby, pushing calcium into his veins to keep him alive. And we did. And he went home. And yet, I was ridiculed by those who are supposed to be my colleagues and my friends. I am the face of your misinformation campaign, Nathan. I am the one who lost my career in pediatric cardiovascular ICU care. I took care of children who had COVID. I never got COVID in the hospital. I tested twice a week. I wore my PPE because I loved my job. And I love this community.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next prisoner.
Now this, wow.
Yeah.
That poor woman.
Well, here's a dad. This we don't know if this is true or not. It sounds true. Who's calling a pharmacist with some issue with the vaccine.
Can you push your vaccine?
the station you're speaking.
Yeah, hi. Are you a pharmacist?
Yes, how can I help?
Yeah, hey, I've got a question. My wife, against my wishes, brought my son, 7-year-old son, in there a few days ago for a COVID jab, and he's now in the hospital with myocarditis. And I was obviously not very happy with you guys or with my wife. She told me that she was not told that was a potential side effect. So why wouldn't you have told her that?
Okay. Sorry. So it was quite a rare side effect as well.
No, it's not that. No, it's not, because I've been doing research. It's common. In the U.S., there's tens of thousands of them reported to the CDC site. So why are you not telling parents this?
We might scare the parents and they don't want to get their child vaccinated.
Yeah, so you don't want to scare the parents with something that is actually happening, that's happened to my kid.
And there you go. This is it may or may not be true. Her answer sounded truthful. Because we don't want to scare anybody.
I mean, if it's not true, it should be true.
Yeah. But these are problems, man. These are real problems.
Yeah, especially when you have a nurse shortage and you're getting rid of somebody just because she wants to put something in the VAERS database. But I think that's the scandal right there. Not that she got fired or whatever, but that they won't put this. Yeah, why aren't they putting data? In other words, we're getting shorted on necessary data to make decisions based on these, on what the data should be. Our decision making is skewed because we don't get the information.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Yep. Well, and I just feel obligated to play these things from time to time so people know what the heck is going on, because you don't, none of this, there is nothing truth. And I've got to be honest, Tucker Carlson Tonight was kind of the only mainstream thing I would watch on Fox. And, you know, obviously I'm always scanning MSNBC, CNBC as well, CNN, BBC, Euronews. But it's all useless. Nothing is true anymore. Any of this stuff. It's all just blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's all blah, blah, anti-Trump.
Yes.
What it is.
There was one thing before we take our break. And I probably should only play a little bit of this because it's so crap. But there appears to be some kind of new meme, and Jimmy Dore's all over it, and the Chunk, the Young Turks is all over it. And this clip is sad because this may be so new, or maybe I don't know where this is coming from, but it sounds believable, and it's just a horrible clip, so I want to cut it off. But you'll see, this is a meme that is emerging.
I came across you with the trending hashtag MAGA communism.
Look, I think this is a really interesting phenomenon. I think it might be positive, actually.
So I'm going to let you explain.
To help us understand what MAGA communism really stands for.
What is MAGA communism?
Communists have a lot of the same goals as working class Americans made up in the MAGA movement.
Get rid of the big banks.
Yeah.
Get rid of big pharma.
Right.
Big tech.
Right.
A lot of people here are very fed up, and they're ready to collectivize and sort of seize the means of production. But yeah,
it's finding common ground with people of different political persuasions and then uniting around those ideas.
We can be loyal to our Constitution and to America and what America is, right? Without being loyal to the deep state and the FBI and the CIA and the mainstream media and the fucking corporations that have grown on top of it.
So it gets really overmodulated from here. But if this is true, that's very interesting to have right and left kind of agreeing on, hey, at least the one thing we agree on is these agencies suck, these companies, these corporations.
Where's
suck.
The right and left here you're talking about?
MAGA and communism.
Where's the, you said right and left agree.
Because right and left, okay. Because Chunk and Jimmy Dore are saying, hey, we like this.
Jimmy Dore is an extreme left winger.
Yes. So he's saying, I like what the MAGA and the what the MAGA people are saying about big business.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that there's no right in this picture. It's just left and left agreeing. Jimmy Dore looks like
a right winger. I understand. The guy in the beginning is a right winger. This guy who's yelling now is a right winger. These are.
Can be loyal this to guy, our Constitution right, this guy's MAGA. And to America and what America is, right? Without being loyal to the deep state and the FBI and the CIA and the mainstream media.
It could also be a total psyop. I'm open to that. Which is why I brought it up. I said, is this true? I mean, how about Russell Brand? Isn't Russell Brand kind of the embodiment of left and right in a way?
The walking psyop.
Joke out.
Whoa, crash.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I accidentally upset the trolls. Sorry, trolls. Didn't mean to do that.
I see. You knocked something over.
I didn't.
We have a lot of people to thank. Or not. Actually, we don't have anybody to thank, but we do have a few, starting with David Behrens and Elria. I don't know. How do you pronounce that?
Hold on.
Ohio, E12314.
I don't know. Elria. Elria.
Well, anyways, he says he'll be within a few hours of marrying his own keeper,
Lloyda from Elria. Oh, they need marriage karma.
Yeah, we'll give him some at the end.
Let's give him some now. It's cute. These kids are getting married. Come on, hold on a second. Let me give him a little bit of marriage karma here. I got a special one for you with a goat for fertility.
You've got karma.
Eric Levenberg in Los Angeles, California, comes in with 100. David Pardon in Pensacola, Florida, 100. Pete Federici in Dallas, Texas, 8008, come to the top. And then we have John Knowles, the Viscount of Murfreesboro, 8008. And then Justin Losey in Rapid City, South Dakota. And credit his smoking hot wife, Shelby Losey. She'll get the credit for 8008. And then last on the list is Sir Kevin McLaughlin, the Duke of Luna, lover of American boobs, with 8008, Locust, North Carolina. Jean-Paul Delahaye in Eindhoven, Netherlands, 75. Robert Wills in Riverside, California, 6699. Sir Don Francis in Chandler, Arizona, 6006. Brent Balcom in Garland, Texas, 5555555.
He needs a de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
Surprise, Night of Astonishment. Surprise, get it? Yukon, Oklahoma, 5444. Lydia Terry Dominelli in Rochester, Minnesota, 5333. John Gaynor, 5280. Matthew Dropko, 5050 in Delaware, Ohio. And it's his birthday.
50th birthday.
We got him on the list.
Nice.
Mark Dunford in Waco, Texas, 5001. The following people, we're already there. $50 donors, name and locations, starting with Jesus Allen in Austin, Terry Slade in Norman, Oklahoma, Chris Boyd in San Marcos, Texas, Danielle First in Kaukauna. Oh, that's not right.
Wisconsin.
Kaukauna, Wisconsin.
Kaukauna.
Bart Beekwilder in Vegel, North Brabant. He's $50. He's in Holland. Michael Romano in Sebastopol, California. John Lawrence in Helotes, Texas. It might be Helotes.
I'm thinking Helotes. Helotes!
Yeah. Helotes. Ariana Hartsock in Dallas, Texas. John Walker in Wenatchee, Washington. James Farrell in Haverhill, Massachusetts. David Perdue in Snow Hill, North Carolina. And then we have Alexa Delgado and Aptos. And then I have this, this is anonymous, but I'm not sure I can't say this name. This is actually a a knighthood thing. This is going to come up more often. I'm going to have to deal with it. She is one of the many performing arts professionals that is that are fans of this show.
Who is this now?
Well, it's a vocalist. This is not her name.
Oh.
Or her stage name, but I don't know if this name wants to be her name. I don't know. So I'm leaving that. She says I want to be anonymous. But she's got on a knighthood thing, so she's going to be mentioned every month. I never remember to do this. She's over here, and according to this.
Well, is there a code name?
This might be the code name.
What is the code name? Because I was doing something else. I was doing something for myself. What code name?
No, she wants to be anonymous. Or the code,
it's not on the list.
No, this is the number 38 on the list.
Oh, that's why I asked. Okay.
Yeah. Anonymous. Oh, well, I can't tell you then.
No, I understand. I'm going to put it anonymous in my spreadsheet so it doesn't accidentally leak out of my studio. I'm so worried now.
Well, I didn't mean to be. She's not that nuts because she says she will have her name revealed when she becomes a dame. But
I'm looking up. Do I know this name?
Not this name. You'll never know. No, it's her stage name. You need to know unless. Her stage name's her real name, and this is just some other name. I have no idea. Hmm. I couldn't straighten it out. So
interesting. Well, I'm very excited to learn who this is. Will you tell me after the show? Will you please, please, please? How will you please?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Hey, thank you very much, producers. Thank you very much for helping out here. Thanks to everyone who came in under $50 to be anonymous. That's if you so our superstar musician, vocalist, that's a surefire way for a penny less. I see a couple other people who did that. Also, we have subscriptions, many of them. You can create one yourself or use one of the cool ones like the 33s. There's a lot there, a lot to participate in. We really appreciate what everybody does. And of course, again, thanks to our executive and our associate executive producers. I also I received my package from Texas Hot Glass, which you boasted about on the last show.
Yeah, some nice bottle. What'd you get?
No, I got you get the bottle that with the holes in it and it flows all the way through and that
yeah,
one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very. Yeah. And I got a very nice pipe/a water pipe device.
Oh, that was meant for you.
You had one too?
No, I just got a giant beer glass, which is now a vase, and the beer bottle. She knows it's just going to waste. I don't smoke dope.
I got a bong, which is now a vase. But I also got, I want to give you a tip. I got something. I met a guy in at the Georgia conference.
I met a guy
at the Georgia conference. His name is Charles. And by accident, he discovered that because he had lard at his house and he got a really bad sunburn, I think while he was trying to grow marijuana plants or something, which didn't work really well, his irrigation system was broken. And so he found out that he has this lard combo with, I think there may be a little bit of tallow in there or something. And it's for women. It's called Faro. And it's basically lard for your skin. And so he sent that. He sells it to women. He sent a little bottle along, a couple of things for Tina. But I tried it. Do you have like that, I don't know if you get this. Of course, I'm beautiful. I'm a handsome man. But my neck is starting to get a little old and crinkly. I haven't looked at your neck recently. Do you have that where you get wrinkled the neck?
My neck looks crappy. It hasn't looked good for 20 years. Now, it's not that bad.
This Faro stuff?
I mean, is it for crep skin, the creppy skin? Or are you just worried about the one minor wrinkle? One wrinkle and you go out of control. Let me buy everything I can in the world. I'm going to get my skin abraded. Let me go do some laser treatments.
I'm not for any treatments. But this Faro stuff? Yeah. Within like a few days, I'm like, hey, my crepe paper is gone. Thank you for describing it accurately. I'm gonna have them send some to you. You should try this. Yes,
please send some to me. I probably need it more than you do. So,
Faro.life. Smart lard. I'm sorry. Smart lard is what he makes.
Smart lard. What do you do?
Hey,
Dad, you stink. What? I smell like what? You smell like a stinky dog. Oh, okay. Well, at least I don't smell like a stinky pig.
Hey, son. That's not smell, that's smart lard. I will say Phoebe was very interested in my face.
I'll pinch you. Let me just lick you. I'm going to show my love and affection.
It doesn't. Look, I want you to try it. See if you have similar results. I was blown away. It's for chicks, but you know, sometimes dudes got to do that stuff.
You got to do what you got to do.
Hey, you know, when you got the crep neck. Anyway, if you'd like to support the best podcasting in the universe, go here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Here's our list. Oh, everything's short today. All list. Brian Lowe's son. Well, we say happy birthday to him. He celebrated on the 19th. Matthew Dropko, 50 today. 50 on 50. 50, 25th. Thank you. Sir Tommy Hawk of the Heartland, 48 years old today. The Ohio bloke says happy birthday to his wife, who turns 50 tomorrow. His human resource, Nuckix, who will be 21 on the 28th. And his son, who will be 24 on, who turned 24 on the 17th. And finally, Courtney Hayes of Chicago celebrating. We say happy birthday to everybody here from the best podcast day in the universe. No titles, but we do have two knights. So let's bring out the double blade for the knights.
Here you go.
Brian Stewart, Daniel Hollingsworth, gentlemen, pop up on stage here for you. We'd like to welcome you to the roundtable, the No Agenda Knights and Dames. Thank you very much for your support in the amount of $1,000 or more. I'm very proud to pronounce thee as Sir Odinson, the King of the Cold and Keeper of the Gold Gods, and Sir Scottie Pippen. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Crunchy Tacos and Ground Beef. We have some Hemmer Brent, Harlots and Haldo, Pepperoni Rolls and Pale Ales, Redheads and Ryes, Beers and Blunts, Cowgirls, Coffin Varnish, Rubenesque Women and Rosé, Geisha and Sake, Vodka, Vanilla, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider and Escorts, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pablum. And of course, Mutton and Mead is always here for you. The mutton, the mead, and gents, if you wouldn't mind when you're done gorging, go to noagendanation.com/rings. Give us your information so we can send out to you the handsome signet ring for knights and for dames into their unisex. And this you can seal your important correspondence with the provided wax along with your certificate of authenticity. And again, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you for supporting the No Agenda Show.
No Agenda Meetups.
Now, when it rains, it pours. And when there's a drought, it's really dry. No reports, no promos, no nothing. And there was a new entry on the calendar, noagendameetups.com, for today. The Central Florida Beers with Buds on the Beach at 1 o'clock at Coconuts on the Beach. I hope everyone made it. I have no idea. It's a little late to add that to the calendar, but spur of the moment, you never know when a hooey-hooey might be appropriate. Detroit kicked off at 2 o'clock, the Red Dog Saloon in Milford, Michigan. That is the local One Detroit Metro meetup. This is the OG of locals. The first anniversary SCOA Indie Monthly No Agenda Tribal meetup, 3 o'clock, underway as we speak. That'll be at the No Agenda Celebration Area in Greenwood, Indiana. I'd love to hear a report from that one. Best meetup on the border, Flea Chicago, 5 p.m. Southside Irish Chicago time, which is different from the rest, apparently. Rock Island Public House, Blue Island, Illinois. And then for Thursday, our next show day, Bourbon and Refugees, 6 o'clock Milwaukee time at Shawford Stillhouse in Waterford, Wisconsin. Thank you all for organizing these meetups. This is where you find your community. If you've never been to one, you don't even have to. All you do is show up and say, in the morning, hooey hooey, where's the meetup? Or go to noagendameetups.com. Always a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me, triggered or held to blame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Ah, do tell me what you're drinking.
This is Perrier Energize Caffeine and Yerba Mate Tangerine Flavored Water.
Wow, that sounds pretty fiat.
Well, I'll tell you this. Let me pour some. I'll tell you what it tastes like.
Please do. And did you choose this up as a spur of the moment item? Did you buy a six pack, or was it a promotion?
Tastes like poop.
was it a promotional item?
Yeah, it was a promotional item, and I've never seen it before.
In your Uber since. Eats, did they put that in your Uber Eats delivery?
And I'll tell you this, it's just nothing I would buy.
End of show ISO check.
It's coming from the gobbledygook that you give us.
A little too long, I'd say.
I got one.
I have this one.
Screw you, Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, it's cut off.
Cut off.
This one.
Why do you want to own it?
Kind of like that one.
All right.
What do you have? Where is your ISO?
I don't see it. ISO.
Oh, hold on. I got to scroll really. We've got a lot of clips here. Okay, this ISO.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, done. You nailed it. It's perfect. So much better than mine. Little fun clip.
Now I have two news stories I need to get out of the way.
Can I do a little fun clip then? No, I'll do the fun clip after your news stories. Let's do your news stories.
Yeah, finish with that. Yeah. First of all, let's get it back on track here. The Artemis has already failed a third time.
NASA officials have canceled Tuesday's planned launch of the Artemis moon rocket. The space agency says a tropical storm headed for the U.S. state of Florida is creating unfavorable conditions. Officials also say it's possible the rocket may need to be hauled away for safe storage until the storm is completely passed.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I have a clip that fits with this. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to play it. Here it is. This was from ABC.
We've seen asteroids come through the atmosphere and kind of explode and cause some damage. And thankfully, so far, nothing recent enough that it really has a large impact on our civilization. But it could happen.
That's why NASA isn't waiting for humanity's luck to run out, launching the DART mission aboard SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket.
Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and DART.
The mission, lifting off last year, has been hurtling towards two asteroids with intertwined orbits called Didymus and Dimorphos, nearly 7 million...
Is Didymus and Dimorphos, is that like some Greek mythology, or is that biblical? Didymus and Dimorphos were these two brothers?
Those are the middle names of Elon Musk's kids.
Miles from Earth. Dimorphos may be smaller than Didymus, but it's still big, over 500 feet wide, about the size of a large football stadium.
Something like that would level small state, small country.
Yeah, you heard that right. A small country. These two asteroids are...
All right. So if this asteroid, these two asteroids with Musk's kids' middle names... If they were to hit the Earth, it could take out a city, a country.
Level small state, small country.
Yeah, you heard that right. A small country. These two asteroids are not a threat to Earth. But scientists say the pair have perfect conditions for this first-of-its-kind test.
So
you're going to run a small spacecraft into the smaller of the two asteroids, and it is going to change its velocity by a small amount.
To make the collision happen Monday, a smaller probe will be jettisoned from the larger spacecraft ramming into the asteroid.
Now, what could possibly go wrong? Do you think that, is it possible that they maybe alter the orbit and go, oopsie?
Well, it seems to me the thing is not headed to Earth.
Not yet.
But going up and doing this might, maybe the idea is to head it to Earth.
That's my point.
Will be jettisoned from the larger spacecraft ramming into the asteroid.
About 2 minutes out, we have to stop maneuvering, and we're moving at 6 kilometers a second. It's as if we were over the Indy 500 when we stop maneuvering, and then we simply have to coast all the way to Baltimore, and we have to land inside Camden Yards.
NASA hopes to measure the altered course of the asteroid caused by the collision.
Make a tiny change in the velocity, because that's all it takes to protect the Earth in general from most asteroid impacts.
Missions like DART offering a last line of defense for our planet to help protect the future of humanity on Earth.
So I just wanted to put that out there in case it all goes wrong tomorrow. All right, your next news story.
Wow. Okay, that's a valuable clip. Okay, I'm going to just be my last clip. This is just because we haven't discussed it, which is all hell is breaking loose in Iran.
Yes.
Because the morality police beat the crap out of some poor woman.
And they killed her.
Ken killed her. And everyone's bent out of shape about it for good reason. And that this is a major event. And the government doesn't know what to do. They're idiots. And So here, this is the shortest report I can get, but we'll get into this more as time goes on.
Iran's president has said that the country must deal decisively with protesters after more than a week of unrest. The anti-government protests were triggered by the death of 22-year-old Iranian Kurd Mahsa Amini in police custody last week. Since then, at least 40 people have been killed.
Yeah, what's interesting is that now we're seeing protests all over the world, Muslims everywhere coming out going, hey,
about this incident.
Yeah, about this incident. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this kind of operation, I'm just going to call it, is this kind of thing that usually can kick stuff off. You know, it can be babies in incubators. It can be,
that was fiction.
I understand.
This woman, I think, was killed. So
right, but are they literally called the morality police? Do they have a badge that says morality police?
That is the tag that I've heard on international news broadcasts.
Me too. So I'm curious. Also, you remember?
That's a good question, though. Or is there quote unquote a morality police looking around for hijabs?
Do you remember what a job that is? Do you remember the OG?
Here's your badge.
Do you remember the OG Arab Spring? Do you remember the big thing Hillary Clinton, as then Secretary of State, was pushing for? The internet in a suitcase?
Yeah.
Well,
that came to be.
Elon Musk just got the approval.
Well, he's doing a new internet in a suitcase?
He's doing it from his satellites. Yeah, so he's sending the satellites over there. He's sending the suitcases in. It's smaller than a suitcase. I have one. That's pretty powerful mojo. And that only took, what, 8 years? Am I saying that right, Tanya?
Yeah, I think you're dead on. And this is an operation of some sort. The opportunity was presented.
Yep.
And, okay, let's go with it.
Final clip is from American Airlines. Actually, I got the clip from my buddy at, I got to say this right because I keep messing it up. His website, and this is the guy I got the flight data from, if you recall, the migrant flights from the border states that we can see exactly how many flights were going out because of the inflows versus the outflows. By the way, I got an email from someone who asked me for. I gave him a link to the show notes because it's right there, because the oversight committee was apparently interested. I don't know which oversight committee.
One of them.
Yeah. It'd be kind of.
Well, I'm glad the oversight committee is listening to the show.
Yes. So he's at it's airline.com backwards. So airline, I can never remember it. It's enilria.com. So he sends this clip, and he's checked with all his buddies if this is possible to be hacked. Could this happen with some external vendor from some of the automated announcements that take place on the aircraft? You'll even hear the flight attendant come on and say, we don't know what is happening here. Did it come? I mean, the obvious answer, this was the pilot or co-pilot from the flight deck. But throughout the flight, the intercom, there's a dude groaning on the intercom. it goes on. Great.
Oh, this is a hacker.
Yeah, but no one can figure out how it's been done. And we haven't heard from the flight
good
crew.
Good work, hacker.
I think, hacker, we need to have more of this. This is the
kind. It's definitely the funniest thing that I can imagine hearing on an airplane while you're flying at, you know, 30,000, 35,000 feet, and you're hearing some guy moaning over the system. They don't know how it's getting across unless it's the co-pilot himself, and the two guys up there in the cockpit are just having fun.
Oh, man, hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Very. Who knows? Maybe we'll be able to figure it out and see what the heck happened. Coming up next on NoAgendaStream.com, we have the Millennial Media Offensive. I think I met one of those guys in Bluffton, Georgia. Cool outfit. That's on NoAgendaStream.com, trollroom.io. End of show mixes. We have Sir Michael Anthony, and we've got some Jesse Coyne Nelson for you. And I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, FEMA region number 6. I should say again, in the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Thursday with another episode of the best podcast in the universe. Until then, hooey hooey, adios, mofos and such.
Everything your government has told you about this virus is a lie.
Trust the experts, trust the experts.
Are you afraid of the flu? Don't bother me. I mean, that's the reality of how people perceive flu. So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
Make sure you wear your mask at all times, do your part, it is federal employment. We got you with that mask, blow your nose.
What you are told, it is for your safety.
We have 33 confirmed positive tests.
COVID-19 in Thailand remains at 33.
33.
33.
33.
33.
33.
There were 33 confirmed cases in North Carolina.
33.
There was 33 everywhere.
I think that was Red Team Go. I think 33 is like, yeah. Red Team Go. Everybody goes, okay, let's do it. It's time.
89% until 94% of those PCR tests are false positive.
It doesn't tell you that you're sick, and it doesn't tell you that the thing you ended up with really was going to hurt you or anything like that.
Everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death.
We didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly in the elderly. Kind of like.
This isn't going to be run on CNN for a week.
Nicely not to be found.
You got like who fell for this shit?
You've been patient. But our patience is wearing thin. Wearing thin.
Why are we being pressured to add COVID?
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You are correct. I should not be giving these vaccines.
And you've been subject to propaganda and lies by people who are very well trained in how they do that.
Only one person in the entire state died from the flu.
So when you deny this stuff, or when you don't want to believe this stuff, you want to face reality, it's only hurting you.
They rely on people's ignorance.
Everybody sees what's going on. If people woke up, man, they're not looking for anybody to save them. They're saving themselves.
There's your flu last year. Here's your flu this year. Literally doesn't even exist.
Nah, y'all gotta chill, New York City. A Supreme Court judge who thinks he's the mayor told me, the best mayor on the globe, that I can't force the jibby jab on the popo. The police wanna keep their job without the vax mandate, but they are not celebrities. Medical freedom in my city is still only for the rich and famous, because they got swagger like they mayor. Look, I used to be a police too, but now I am top. banana, eating bananas in my banana republic. And if y'all mess up my business deals, y'all gonna slip on banana peels. You heard? As far as I'm concerned, NYPD stands for now y'all playing dirty. The mandate for private companies ends in November, but not for city workers. Hell no. I ain't stopping just because the CDC says I gotta treat y'all equally. I'ma appeal this decision like a banana.
That's learned numbers. That's learned numbers. That's learned numbers. Numbers are fun. Let's learn about numbers from two of our presidents. Former President Donald Trump will tell you about his favorite two numbers.
33 million, not 33,000. Happens to be a similar number, 33 million.
33.1, and let me tell you what they're going to do. No nation has a number like that.
And what do these two numbers have in common?
Bing, bing.
Our current President Joseph Biden will tell us two of his favorite numbers.
She was 12, I was 30, but anyway.
If you add these two numbers together, what do you get?
Ew.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Bye-bye.